Avital here. In this episode, Benji and Steven recommend picking up Stephen King's On Writing, which I have since done. In this episode, we also discuss whether or not Stephen King is an atheist, and I'd like to point out, since I've now picked up the book, Stephen King actually states, "And while I believe in God, I have no use for organized religion." So there you go. Enjoy the episode.
We have opposing tastes.
Oh, that's interesting.
We really
that's
have opposite tastes.
Which will come out about this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Any guesses as to which one of us liked it more?
Well, I'm gonna
we got a text from you last night. So yes. That's...
What did I say?
It said, and I quote. Well, maybe, should we start the podcast?
He's right behind you.
Hi, I'm Avital. Ash?
Say,
she's
yeah.
looking at me like I have to say my full name.
Well, you
Fine.
Always say it.
I'm Avital Ash.
I'm Jessica Richards.
And this is...
He's right behind you.
Ah! Today, we have two guests.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is our first time with two guests.
Yeah.
Wow. Everyone remembers their first time with two.
Surround sound. Surround sound. Stereo,
you can tell they
probably.
Were together.
Yeah, not surround. Not 5.1 guests.
You can introduce yourselves. That's fine.
I'm Benji Kleiman.
I'm Steven Cedars. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, he's right behind you.
That was very good.
That was supposed to be surround sound.
Yeah. So mix that into
okay,
stereo.
We'll work on that.
We'll mix it for sure. I'm very happy when you guys are around. You guys make me happy.
Wow. It's nice. Likewise.
Oh, thanks.
Cool.
Wow.
I know people listening are going to think you guys are twins. Like, we've got two twins in here that are dressed the same.
Whenever one...
We'll post a picture. That'll help.
Shining twins.
Post a super bald picture so people can really tell. Whenever someone, like, has known one of us for a while and then, like, meets the other one, they're always like, you guys talk the exact same way. But
yes.
I don't see it.
I don't think so, but I think you're, like, similar personalities.
Yes. Very much so. Yeah. And also, I will say, whenever we hear each other... So we direct together. And write together. And whenever, like, we're, like... And we edit together, actually.
Yep, that too.
The whole package. Two for the price of two. But whenever we're, like, combing through footage and we, like, are listening to someone give direction, we're always like, I can't believe I said that. And then the other one will be like, that was me. And I'll be like, I apologize. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
And we've actually even heard, like, if you're, like, on the headphones, we'll hear the actors be like... Like, one time actors were inside of a car, and so we were giving them direction from a walkie-talkie, and they like, couldn't tell the difference. They were like, is that Benji or Steven saying that? But we could hear them.
I feel like I can tell the difference with your voices.
Close your eyes. This is Steven. Can you tell?
No, that's Benji.
Okay, very
good.
Wow,
very good.
Thank you. Yeah, I get that. Although I do often want to call you by the wrong names. I pause every time I say one of your names because I'm making sure I'm saying the right one.
Yes. That's like when I say your name.
Yeah, but that's
because
I've
given
you a complex.
Now you get what I'm going with.
Wait, but what are you afraid you're going to say?
Because I learned that I had said her name wrong for years.
Were you like Avital?
No, I said Avital.
That's better.
I was saying that
you were saying Avital, which is worse.
Like Avatar.
Yeah.
Now I don't even know how to say
no,
it.
No,
right
that was
wrong.
Improved. You're getting better. I keep being like, call me Avi, and she refuses.
I do refuse. I wouldn't give you a nickname. It feels weird.
Why?
This is probably like rehashing for fans of the PCast. But
so many fans.
PCast, great name for R. Kelly's sex tape. Just funny. But how do you guys know each other?
We met doing stand-up comedy. How we met, because I think this is a great story.
Oh, yeah.
I had a manager for a long time that you both have.
Yes.
And you'd think with how well we get along, he would have been like, you guys should meet. He didn't do that. Instead, at Dinosaur, a coffee place, I happened to sit outside beside Steven. Maybe I asked you to babysit my laptop or something,
you
right?
You did.
A stranger?
Yeah.
I was a Jewish stranger.
I was reading the paper. An actual physical copy of the paper, and you asked me to watch your stuff, and I remember it because you had a glass water bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was, like, a big deal to me because I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Why would you be carrying around a glass bottle with you that, like, a water bottle by design should not be this?
It's funny. Today, I jotted down a note for my stand-up set to talk about the water bottle, so this feels very serendipitous.
And do you still have a glass bottle?
Yeah,
bottle?
I've gone through several because I smash them. It's like, by accident.
I think that's his problem.
Well, but it's always, like, extreme. Like, I knock it off something really hard, but they last yes. usually a long time.
When you don't hit them, they are white.
When you don't drop them on the cement.
Yeah. But I agree. I don't like plastic either. Because
yeah,
it's
it tastes better out of plastic.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you feel like there's like mold getting into the little like grooves.
Yes. And they're big. I carry those like the kinds they fill your bottles, your cups with at restaurants.
Yeah, it's like a restaurant bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, so it has a little pop top, which is probably the best thing.
That's a big part. So it doesn't like accidentally break your cell phone. And also it holds a lot of water. I'm thirsty.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought into that early.
Yeah. All ties seamlessly into the mist. Okay, wait, but real quick, just rewinding. So we met at a coffee shop, which is crazy. Yeah. And then we stayed in touch enough that I met your writing
partner. I'm trying to think what the context must have been.
Yeah, how did I meet? When's the first time I met you?
I feel like it was at like a Passover thing. Is that
possible? Oh, that's right.
Oh, that is.
Yeah, with Ariel, yeah.
Yeah, and Travis.
Yes.
There's an actor friend of ours who's doing really well, which is nice because he deserves it, and he's wonderful and lovely. Travis Coles.
Travis Coles.
Plural, right? Coles.
Yes.
Coles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I met him. He was a server, and he gave me and my friend Tony, who you guys met but you don't remember, like a free dessert. And I was like, I love this guy. Oh, yeah. And then he was at Passover.
Yeah. And we met him because he was our server, and he gave us a bunch of free food.
Travis Coles forever. Yeah, yeah. We'll get him on here.
Great. You should. He's so great. He loves horror movies. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, great. Perfect.
What do you guys edit on?
I do Premiere. She does GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We alternate. Well, you not alternate. Strictly. Usually, if I don't like a movie as much, she'll cut it, and vice versa.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice. And we have very different tastes.
Have you ever?
Yes, we are opposed on almost everything.
That's
Scream.
Yeah, we meet in the middle at Scream.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Scream and The Craft, we discovered today.
Yeah, but we haven't done that on the podcast yet.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Well, no, I was just going to ask, I want to know who liked the movie and who didn't like the movie.
What was your guess?
Okay,
what's your guess?
Right, so we were going to talk about this. So here's the information Stephen and I have going into this. We know that A, you guys don't agree frequently. B, we know that we got a text at about 1 a.m. last night from Harry Call that said, and
you
I
up?
Quote, that said, you up? And we were like, yeah, we are. No, that said, wow, 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 wow. One word. Just watched. So excited to talk tomorrow.
Okay. Which could be positive or negative.
Yeah. It's a very polarized reaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say positive, that you liked it and you did not like it.
I'm going to go opposite just for fun's sake.
Okay, very fun. Benji was right.
Yes.
Well, of course. That's what I wanted to guess, but I couldn't.
I had to go for fun's sake.
No, I had seen this movie. I saw it when it came out.
She was like, are you fucking kidding me? We have to watch The Mist.
That was, I think my exact line was like, I think slitting my wrist would be more fun.
Wow.
That's all we can say.
And out of a shorter running time.
I'm thrilled that we have this reaction because it actually is a movie that isn't like a total, it is not a crowd pleaser by nature.
Right.
Yes.
Very polarizing film.
And we were even talking about it a little bit today. We didn't want to spoil too much, but we have points of view. You know, there are things that we were debating.
Yes.
There's stuff about it I like. It's not like I just watched it and was like, this is garbage. Totally, I mean, it's Frank Darabont.
Okay, because it's not garbage. Yeah, right. So ready to dive in for good reason. Let's first quickly establish who you guys are. So you're a writing directing team. I could see some snatchers in this movie. Talk a little bit about snatchers.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll get to
that. Wow.
Yeah, Snatcher is a movie. Is our only movie.
Yeah. Here's the better way to say it. Is our feature film debut.
Oh, beautiful.
That sounded good.
It does sound more legit.
But the way that it became a movie is just too crazy. It's its own crazy story.
It was a movie, then it was a series, and then it's a movie again? Okay, close. We don't have to.
No, that's good enough. Okay, Yeah, we'll go. But just so you know, they just finally actually announced it's coming to DVD and Blu-ray January 7th.
Wow.
Congratulations. 2020.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you like horror movies...
That's very soon because this podcast will be out at the end of December.
Yeah. If you send us a link too, we'll throw it up.
Okay.
Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great. You can buy it Blu-ray, DVD, all those normal things, and also download on iTunes or Amazon or Vudu.
I want you to just pitch quickly what it is.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Do you have a log line?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a horror comedy about a high school girl who has sex for the first time and wakes up the next morning 9 months pregnant. With an alien.
I gave them this downstairs. Almost the same.
I didn't get the 17-year-old part.
Yeah.
I said high school.
Oh,
yeah, but
yeah.
She is 17. No, it's great.
She is 17. Yeah.
I said high school. Yeah. But I also didn't say has sex for the first time. I just said girl wakes up 9 months
that's
pregnant.
That's great. Yeah.
With an alien baby.
With an alien baby. That's great.
That was what I said.
And it's a little tonally Mean Girls meets Gremlins.
Oh, like right up your alley. Movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meets the Mist.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
She's out. Or Meets the Mist, that's for me.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. And Meets Scream more.
Yeah, because you didn't seem like you were interested in our movie when Jessica was like, she liked the two
And I like Mean Girls. I like Gremlins okay.
Have you never seen Snatchers?
No, I have. Well,
okay. You've seen the chunk of it.
I don't know where it's at. Okay. I feel like it's always evolving.
Yeah,
I saw
it's true.
A good bit that I really liked, and I wear the hat a lot. I wear
I still heard that you just said I like Gremlins okay. I'm like, how is it just
like Gremlins is fun.
Ugh, love
I like the mist in a deeper way.
Yes. Ugh. Well, I mean, it actually is the I feel like the thing that they share, obviously, is Little Monsters, which is one of the things that I think Benji and I are super into. But just really quickly, the mist actually, we used it. There is a creature in the mist that we used as like a reference for designing
the monster
alien. In,
so it's a good movie to watch before we watch your movie.
Yeah.
It's like a prequel.
That's awesome.
It's
which like a monster?
It was the little fucker, I believe, that is the flying creature that comes in before it, like the big scary guy crashes through the window. It's like the little guy that's dangling there. Yeah, that they're
the ones that keep landing on the window.
Yes,
with a very satisfying and creepy thud.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, you
we
love noises.
Private jokes. I do, and Jessica hates them because she's scared of them.
I don't hate them, but she's always like, "Oh, that sound was so satisfying," and I'm like, "What is that?"
Oh yeah, well. One of our favorite parts of the directing process is the sound mix because, boy, we are like real sound heads.
With Friday the 13th, there's a moment of like a crack over the head and they don't use a sound. You just hear the sound of like hitting the lamp. And I'm like, this is such a missed opportunity for scariness. And Jessica's like, I love it. I don't want to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't hear heads
really
split open.
Disagree about every single thing.
Yeah. Yes. Except Scream.
Scream's great.
Crowd pleaser.
Brilliant movie.
I rewatched it maybe like 5 years ago. I hadn't seen it since
It holds up.
It really does hold up. It's really fun.
So we got that Snatchers is a little bit informed monster-wise by this movie.
Yeah.
Prior to that, what is each of your relationships with horror?
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
Oh, good. We ask it every episode.
Yeah.
I would say neither of us are diehard horror fans. I think...
Yeah, we're not, like, going to every, like, schlocky horror movie because it's a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think I'm going to speak for both of us because I think
please
this
do.
Applies to both of us. And in cases where I'm only going to speak for myself, I'll make a note of that.
Please do.
Yeah. But I think – so we actually did a lot of sketch comedy. Benji and I grew up with each other, and then we went to UCLA
together.
Known each other since fourth grade, he says.
Are y'all from out in L.A., or did you come from somewhere together?
The San Francisco Bay Area. East Bay.
Okay.
Went to Tahia Day School with each other. Jewish Day School. Wow.
So we grew up together, made a bunch of little movies with each other, and did a sketch comedy show, and then did sketches after college. And that's kind of how we became, or that's how our quote-unquote career got started. And I think the...
Which just to... point out that you guys are legit. Snatchers premiered at Sundance, so you're not little nobodies. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, continue as you were.
The reason why am I talking about comedy? Because they both deal with taboo, where you can with comedy it's like breaking taboos to generate a laugh, and with horror you can do it with a scream. And I think the appeal, and now I'm going to speak for myself, of horror movies is that they go in directions that most movies don't go, and it takes you outside what you were expecting because they are allowed to break taboos where people can fuck their daughters.
And if you tell Steven Moody that someone's fucking their daughter, he is there.
Oh baby.
Bro.
And I want to just
pee corn.
Also, I do have a beautiful baby daughter named Rachel that I do not fuck. Please cut this part out of the podcast.
I will not, actually.
I don't have a daughter. But you can do things that just you can't do in a normal movie. Like the scope of what you can do in a horror movie is way different than in like a normal movie. And I think just as coming from a comedy perspective, like that is just super appealing to be able to go in that direction, but to generate a scream instead of a laugh.
And it's nice for us. I think one thing that when we were making sketches and also when we made Snatchers that is nice is that once an audience knows that both are options in the same sketch or movie or whatever, then like you can generate so much tension, and then like someone could think a scream is coming, and it's the best time to make a joke. Mm-hmm. Or right. Or if you lull them into thinking, oh, this is a comedy scene, it's the best time to scare someone. So they
support each other.
Yeah,
in that way.
They're 69ing bedfellows,
especially because they both are predicated on surprise to a certain degree, and so you're not knowing which one's coming.
Twice the options of surprise.
Yeah. Right. And both are sort of about subverting the expectation. And then you're talking about one step further of subverting the expectation of how you're going to subvert
expectation.
Yes, exactly.
Very
That's
well
great.
Said.
And sometimes the most surprising thing of all is the most normal thing, which is when it's like, and she closes the refrigerator and no one's there.
Yeah.
But then someone's there.
Oh, God.
But it's her husband.
Oh.
But he farted. Scarily.
Oh, God, no. I'm having a heart attack in the booth. Oh, God.
And so that's this movie that we're writing right now.
It's called Refrigerated Farty. I will also just say, just speak for myself, that just one thing that I do think is interesting about my relationship with horror movies is I really didn't like them when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I was really scared.
We get that a lot on
yeah,
here.
Yeah. I was.
And I'm the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like even in college, I remember that the movie, the Jim Carrey movie, The Number 23 came out. I was in a film class, and for some reason I had like, that was like homework. And I made Steven come with me because I was like,
terrible homework.
I'm too scared to watch The Number 23.
I almost brought that up to you the other day, but I was like, I don't want to embarrass the guy.
No, I'm very comfortable with it. But and that was actually when I saw that movie and I was like, oh, that's not very scary. Then that was part of it. And also I think
I love that movie was the movie that turned you on to horror movies.
You know, I'm trying to remember what movie really did do it for me where I was like, oh, I actually really love these. But I don't know. But I also didn't like roller coasters as a kid, and now I love roller coasters. You know, I don't know. Maybe I just needed to my medulla oblongata needed to grow.
Do you guys have any like scary images or moments from horror movies that stay with you, or like that you were growing up with that stayed with you?
There's this father fucking his daughter.
Yeah, you love
image
that one.
I can't get out of my
head. Yeah, right. Sometimes Stephen, we'll be working. And I think he's working on his computer, and it's just he's staring at this image of this father.
Yeah,
this is all fake.
Yeah. I actually really like that question. No, I will say one thing.
I'm waiting for you to say what question, and you're like, I didn't like that question.
No. Well, that's funny. We'll tell you. There will be one question.
Yeah.
We'll find a good question. Be like,
bad question.
Reject that question. I think we're both anxious people, which we've talked about.
Oh, I think
recently.
We're all anxious, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is a room full of anxiety.
Okay, great. And I do think that one of the other pleasures of watching a horror movie is the catharsis of watching someone experience something terrible, but they're also being a manifestation of anxiety that then gets in some horror defeated, and mm-hmm. that there's like a catharsis and like you get to feel like you like have control over the world walking out of that theater. Like if you've vicariously experienced the empathetic connection of watching a movie, that was the douchiest thing I've ever said, but that does make sense, right?
Because the movie we watched, when it was over, I was on top of the world.
I assume you guys talk about endings.
The spoilers.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, we haven't gotten there, obviously. Yeah, we're, but yes.
Yeah. But yeah, the design of this podcast, we figured out along the way, mm-hmm. is it's supposed to feel like you just watched the movie and this is like the conversation you'd have with your friends after.
Yeah. Very fun. If we can kind of go in order, maybe it's sometimes sort of helpful.
No, that's fine.
But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was only, without saying anything, I was only going to say that it was interesting that you said that because this movie actually doesn't necessarily leave you feeling like.
Yeah.
We did.
Right. There is a very specific catharsis, though,
true,
I think.
True.
Yeah. But it is 100%. That was why I made that. Well, that was a joke. I didn't feel great after it. I was like, oh, God. I just sat there shell-shocked.
Right. Kind of
I felt great.
Wow,
I was glad it was over.
Yeah.
Wow. Just I hate that so question, happy. If you can call that a question. but I do think that there used to be the thrill of watching a horror movie, and then they were like, Carrie, now – like a much more like a bleak ending where it's like, I feel like now that like what people want out of horror is actually not something that I want out of horror, which is where it's like, how fucked up can we make you feel and how like bleak and depressed can and like extreme can we take you?
Yeah. Like the whole torture porn craze. And
yeah. I also don't love that stuff.
No.
Or like Gaspar Noé. I mean, I've only seen Irreversible, but I was like, I'll never watch that again. And I'm not excited to watch anything else.
We both don't like torture stuff. Yeah. So we line up on something.
Yeah.
On some things we dislike.
Although, nothing we like.
Yeah.
I want
Well, do you have a movie that scared you the most? Or like in life, do you have a greatest fear?
I'll tell you a couple things for me. Now, one of them, funnily enough, is the first time I saw Scream, the Drew Barrymore scene, I remember that was like I feel like everyone has this experience with one horror movie, which is that was the one that for a week I just couldn't sleep.
Oh, wow.
Which is so funny. And I didn't even finish watching the movie. I just watched that. But then, as is true of so many people that like horror movies, then I was like, I have to finish this movie, even though it freaked me out. And I also really, in any movie, nothing will like put me more like, I can stomach most of the horror and the general like non-torture porn horror world, but you put someone underwater and I freak the fuck out.
So Sonic just going through like in the underwater level?
Oh, seriously. When I used to play the underwater levels in Sonic, I would actually, my heart would be racing.
Wow. I get that. I have that same anxiety.
Now let me ask you this question. Are you afraid when you like to be underwater as a human?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not.
Oh, no.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
I have like a claustrophobia thing. So even like, being underwater makes me feel claustrophobic.
See, I don't have a claustrophobia thing or anything like that, but that makes perfect sense. But it's more that I think from a cinematic perspective, I'm like, where's this underwater thing going to come from? I don't know why. It just gets me.
I love that.
I'm also not afraid of being underwater normally, like swimming, but I get really scared of the idea of breathing it in and drowning, that always freaks me out.
Yeah, okay.
Just the idea of it.
Yeah.
Would you say that's like your biggest fear?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
No, it just freaks you out.
I'm super chill about the water. But you get me in that movie. I don't know what my greatest fear is. Wow, scary. Heights freak me out in real life, but not in movies. So, reverse.
All right, that's cool.
Probably a heart attack.
That is my greatest fear. Do you know that? Are you being serious?
I am being serious. Benji thinks that like sometimes he's like, I almost said
it downstairs just now.
Yeah.
I always think I'm having a heart attack. I was like, I ate too much meat.
And it immediately clogged your arteries and you're having a heart attack. I will. I think it's a good answer to the question. What horror movie?
Say it's an answer and we'll judge if it's a good one.
But I want to prime you guys that it's good. So one of them, they were both watched at my grandparents' house, which is only important because they had HBO. I was either watching softcore pornography or I was watching horror movies that I couldn't
Hills
watch.
Bordello.
And I actually really do like that movie.
That's a great, great film.
One movie is called The Gate, which is...
Okay. Ooh, that movie's scary.
Directed by a guy named Tibor Takacs, I think his name is. And he also is famous for his other movie, The Gate 2, which I only discovered existed last night, bizarrely enough. But it's about a kid who accidentally discovers, like, the portal to hell in his backyard. And there are a bunch of little monsters in it. And then, like, his home turns into, a freaky, funhouse, scary horror house. And it terrified me. Like, there's a part where this guy... like a construction worker, like his friend tells him like a little story like, yeah, the construction worker died building your house and he's in the walls. And he's like, that's not true. And then later like a guy, like he's like a zombified guy and he like breaks out of the wall and like grabs him. And it was on the stairs and I was terrified like running up and down the stairs when I was a kid because of this movie.
Thinking someone would come out of the wall and grab you?
Yes. And I actually have a video. I won't do it to you guys now, but I have a video of it on my phone because I filmed it for a friend and I want to show it to you guys. I recently rewatched it.
Is it scary still?
It has elements that are freaky. It's not scary.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of what I think we like, which is like a lot of like practical effects and a lot of like little monsters, like weird little monster fun guys.
Cool.
Little monsters.
Little monsters.
Real monsters.
Yes.
Great show.
Should we move into the little monsters?
Yeah, let's get into
this. Yes.
That it was meant to be the like director's cut. I'm sure you guys know this was in black and white.
Yes.
What a different experience that would be.
I know. Can I tell you what I think is weird about that?
Yeah.
So I didn't remember this having seen it. Because we rewatched it, but I hadn't seen it probably for like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years, maybe more. And there's like a lot of like, they're really riding the zoom lens in that movie. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Like it like almost Office Modern
Family
style.
Yeah, I noticed it one time specifically.
Which to me doesn't really comport like.
Yeah. Like, it's become so comedic.
And just it also feels a little bit like just not anti-cinematic. It almost feels
like documentary.
So in between having seen it, whatever, 5 or 8 years ago, I heard this black and white thing at some point. And then in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense because it's a super cinematic movie. And then rewatching it, I was having this black and white thought, being like, this, I can't actually imagine this comporting so well with black and white.
Interesting. Anyway, that's fine. Read it when it was over, so I wasn't thinking about it during, but especially for the effects.
Yes.
I feel like they'd be much more believable.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's a testament to the movie that I liked it so much, even though the effects are so distracting.
Terrible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the most upsetting parts about rewatching the movie is how bad they are, especially at the kill with like the stock boy,
the first Norm,
yeah.
The first kill, because that is where they are selling the concept of this is not just like a weather event. This is like a little bit more scary than that. And it's like, look out,
the video games are coming for you.
Yeah, and it like is it's really embarrassing stuff. But yes, the black and white thing, I think we read that like he was very inspired by like the 1950s.
Yeah, like classic horror. Monster movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I have never seen it as a black and white movie. But I'm sure that you're right that it makes it way
better. Yeah, the effects have to be better, I figure. But who knows? Maybe not. But it really, I think it's so good anyway.
Jessica, care to comment?
Okay, so here's what I figured out as I was watching this movie today is I like... Okay. Like, how do I say this?
I like nothing.
No, the acting's amazing. The premise is amazing. I started it one night and I didn't finish it. And the next morning I woke up literally to a mist. I texted Abital a picture because I was like, what is happening? Why is Burbank covered in a mist? We don't get mist.
Arrowhead.
And then I watched the rest of it today. And I think it has so many. It starts like each time it goes down a path where I'm like, I love it. I'm so excited. And it's like, it hits all these notes of like the romance. Okay, they're in there. And then they kill her. And I'm like, And it's like each time, I think that's why this movie frustrates me so much, is it keeps trying to go down a path that I will like. And then it's like, fuck you, Jessica.
Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of speaks to the what we were talking about before. Yeah, with like the ending specifically. But I think it is kind of luring you into thinking like, oh, it's going to be one of these kinds of
stories. Like The Blob. I kept feeling like it was going down kind of like The Blob path.
Do you know that he wrote The Blob?
I didn't.
The remake of
it. The 80s one?
Yes.
I love that one.
That movie is so good.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. No. Oh, it's really good.
Yeah,
and
you want to do that for The Blob?
The Blob. I would. Yes.
So great.
Okay, let's do it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think that's... I love that movie.
Yes.
So that was more like where I... kept, and I know how it goes, so it's like, it's not like I was surprised each time, but each time I'd get frustrated, and I was like, oh yeah, this is why this movie frustrates me so much. Yeah.
You're
and
also looking for evidence to support your hypothesis already, that it was bad and painful and brutal.
No, because we have it. So I did like it when it came out enough, but I would get frustrated that about like the roads it was going down, and I appreciate a movie that does go down different roads.
Right.
Like, I can appreciate the ending, but I also feel like it's hard to appreciate it after Marcia Gay Harden's amazing performance because you're just like,
ah. You mean at her? Frustration at her?
Well, because it's like she's so good at being the worst.
Yeah.
And then for her to be like somewhat victorious or like a prophet and kind of be right about certain things, it's like frustrating.
Which I want to like debate that.
You
more
want
at the end.
You,
I hear
you
what
want
your
her
are
to.
On
that. To be wrong and like to be made a fool and everyone's a fool who followed her, and then to have like our people be the ones that are made a fool is like the frustrating.
Yes. It's funny because in the context of like the whole
I appreciate. I can appreciate that.
Right, because there is something like if that were like the first attempt at making a horror movie, it'd be like, all right, and then we could refine that and maybe make some stuff more satisfying. But in the context of like horror movies already doing that, there's like a nice, I don't know if it's postmodern, but like a nice, like it already knows how horror movies work.
Yeah.
And so it's going like, these are turns you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I found it very satisfying in that way and really tense. And there was an image that really scared me, even though a lot of the special effects were bad.
The tentacles, yeah.
The
first time you see that video game tentacle.
I had the captions on in the beginning, and when they first like pull up to the grocery store, David Drayton's cell phone won't work. So he goes to make a call, and there's a bit of background dialogue. Did you guys catch this?
No.
That just goes, I'm sorry, I didn't know she was your sister. Never comes back.
I actually did hear. Wait, it's when he goes to the payphone.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I heard. I was watching it with earbuds in, and I heard it too. And I was like, "Is that like a little Easter egg?"
But
I
didn't go back.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I like loved it, and it has nothing to do with anything. And then also, there's a really great zinger from Norton at the grocery store where he says, your wife should be a doctor. She could make a fortune in Manhattan with this handwriting. Yes, and I had to write it down. I was like,
that's an Andre Brower line, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Sweet. I wanted more Brower.
We all want more Brower.
It was such a bummer that he never comes back.
He's the greatest.
That he's not on the boat at the end. Or not boat. What is that? Like the army.
In my mind,
it's a boat.
A tank.
Yeah.
The first like scary moment, I think, is the guy runs in saying, the mist took John Lee.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Dale from The Walking Dead.
Oh, I haven't seen
who's
The Walking
a guy
Dead?
Who's in, like, every Frank Darabont cool. loves this guy.
I mean, I'd seen it originally, and then seeing it now after The Walking Dead, I was like, oh, they're all from The Walking Dead.
Do you guys want to hear my, you know how they have that thing after The Walking Dead called The Talking Dead?
Yes.
I feel like this should be called The Gist.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's
thank
good.
You. Thank you.
I like it very thank much.
You. Wait, let me try one.
Okay. Do another Frank Darabont, because that's the theme.
Okay. The blob, and then the, wait for it,
okay.
The gist.
I have another one.
Oh. Okay.
Shawshank Whoa. Redemption. Oh, this one's not as good. But I was like, Shawshank Recaption.
Oh, pretty know? Good.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say Shaw Talk Redemption.
Okay.
Or Shop Talk Redemption. Okay, sorry.
The gist.
We should have quit at the gist.
Yeah.
While you're ahead. When we do have the tentacle situation, I wonder if anybody else felt this way. That guy Jim is like, you're not going to talk down to us just because you're some fancy artist.
Is
blah,
that
blah,
William
blah.
Sadler?
Is who?
Mm-hmm. Which one is what?
He eventually like joins the
okay,
other
yeah,
side.
Okay, yeah, that's William Sadler. Yeah.
Okay.
Who I love.
Yeah, I didn't know him.
I don't know any of the characters' names. I only know either Walking Dead
here.
Names or actor names.
Or Tom Jane.
Yeah, was Jane.
And I've never seen The Walking Dead. So
I watched the pilot and I quit after that.
It was great for a while. For a solid while.
Pass.
It's great.
So he contributes to getting this guy killed.
Yes.
And then he's so apologetic.
Yes.
And I can't help but feel sorry for him. Like, he obviously has very low self-esteem. That's why he's, like, doing this whole, like, you think you're better than me thing. And then he feels really bad. And I don't know. He kind of won me over.
When and when you were like,
he
Thomas
didn't
Jane
win me
should
over.
Forgive him.
Well, yeah. Kinda.
No, he
and
was
what are you
so
gonna do now?
Rude to Thomas Jane. And he Thomas was. Jane's like, yeah, that guy's dead now, dummy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need your
Thomas
apology.
Thomas Jane is right. But at the same time, like, yikes. I killed someone. I'm really sorry about it.
Yeah. I did like the line.
The apology acting is really good.
Yeah. He seems like he meant it.
Yes.
But I like really that he's bad. Like because he's like, I didn't talk the kid into it. He wanted to do it. And he's like,
he's a kid. We're
kids
adults.
Are supposed to be stupid. Yeah. What's your
excuse? Yeah, good line. Good
classic
line. Zinger.
Classic Darabont. The D man.
I have so much to say, so I can just, but also like jump in anytime. Okay. Oh, say all the things.
Part that he and I were talking about today.
Okay, great.
Yes. Well, one of the things, I mean, I actually think that, I mean, maybe this is what all horror movies do, and this is going to sound really stupid.
Scare you.
But this one really scared us. But the way we're actually writing something right now with like a kind of high concept, which I think that this has a high concept. Mm-hmm. And I think it's deceptively difficult what Debont does.
The demon.
Which is like it's not when like this concept is introduced, then all of a sudden it's like 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's much more of a gradual ramp up,
totally.
Where that like lets you acclimate to the reality, but it also lets you live in these really human moments, which are the scariest moments of what this movie is.
Like the Lord of the Flies type stuff.
Yes, exactly.
That's the scariest part to me.
Me too.
Wasn't the monster, although the spider scene did scare me.
I do think that is
so
what this movie is.
Yeah.
Like that's the almost the, at least the director's premise.
Right.
Is that.
Even like the little boy saying, don't let the monsters get me. And it's sort of this nod of like, oh, it won't be the monsters.
Yes.
You know, it's
well, especially
human
when
monsters.
When Amanda's like, it's been 2 days.
Yeah.
At a certain point, they're like, it's only been 2 days. And everyone's already turning on each other.
Yeah, right. A classic theme of horror is the, is it the monsters who are scary or is it the humans?
The monsters within.
Within. I was thinking it too.
Very nice. I do have one other thing I want to say about that scene, which is, I found upon a rewatch, I did not find this the first time I watched it, but that the point of view of the guy saying, let the kid go out there before, I was like, I don't buy it. Like, yeah. He was too gung-ho. Like, yeah. It'd be one thing if he was like, hey, he's a kid, let him do it.
Yeah.
But he was like, that kid's going out there no matter what. And it's like, why? It's fine. We don't need it. He's going out there, you motherfucker, you Hollywood piece of shit.
I agree. And then I think they did a good job of sort of salvaging it where Toby... What's the name?
Oh, God.
Toby Jones?
Yeah, Ollie.
I did know some names.
Yeah. Where Ollie is like, basically like, they feel out of control. Let them do the one thing that gives them a sense of control.
I agree. That was a good save for me. Also,
but they could have incorporated that more into,
I think
agree.
Toby Jones is my favorite part of this movie.
Yes, yeah. Toby Jones is a saint. He's wonderful. A saint. I was telling Steven, and you guys, and listeners at home, listen to Toby Jones talk in that movie. Close your eyes. Picture Mark Ruffalo.
Wow.
Isn't it weirdly dichotomous? Yeah,
yeah. And they sound nothing alike. Yeah.
I'm Toby Jones.
Wait, one other thing.
Yes.
To the thing about the like big Hollywood talk, we were talking about this. What is his job?
He's a painter. He paints movie posters.
But they're like old. Like he's painting what they sell at the Venice Boardwalk.
Yeah.
Like they're oil paintings of like he's painting, as Stephen was pointing out, it's Clint Eastwood with a rose neck. Like it feels like it's like.
So it's the Dark Tower.
Yes. I thought it was Clint Eastwood too. And then I was
well,
because
I recognized the thing right away.
And it's not.
Because one of them is the poster.
It's a Stephen King Easter egg. But there's also the Thing poster behind it.
Yeah, which is a. I looked it up, and it was like, oh, it's a nod because he did The Fog.
Yes,
which seemed
which
like a stretch.
Truly a terrible
Even
movie.
If both of those things are true, why is he...
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God. My team.
Oh, my God.
I love both versions of The Fog.
Wait, what is the second version of The Fog?
The one with, like, Tom Welling and Maggie Grace.
Like, they remade The Fog.
Yeah, like in 2005 with the guy who played Superman from Smallville.
Oh, I almost had his name, and I just couldn't
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling.
Yep, that's his name. You already had said it.
Because I like ghost stuff. I like that in the fog, as opposed to the mist, ghosts come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seeking revenge.
We'll have to watch it and see, but you guys won't come for that one.
No,
and you won't like it, because I do. But I like both of... Honestly, I like both in the sense of, like, much like I like Twister, I like weather-related stuff. There's something fun about stuff that actually happens. Like, we actually do get mist.
Right, right. Have you seen The Drizzle? It's really good.
But we don't get like aliens in the mist that we know of yet.
True.
Yet.
Global warming.
Also, when they come out of the back, did you have something else to say about the back?
No, the only other thing I was saying was just that why is he painting already existing movie posters? What is his job?
Yeah.
Why is he upset that a movie poster that's already been made got ruined in the rain?
Well, he's some hotshot painter is like a weird, because you don't really hear of like a hotshot painter.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then they're treating him like he is like a
Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
But it is, I think it's supposed to be for Hollywood movies, and then it's like a subtle nod to the Dark Towers.
Yeah. Right.
But it has no bear, like his, we were talking about this on the car ride to work today, and we were like, it's weird that it's predicated on movies, and as Benji's pointing out, it's like, they're talking about like, you know, they're referring to Andre Brower as like, you're not one of us, you're like, you're not a townie.
You're not a towner.
We're locals, you're out of towner.
But Thomas Jane is like a Hollywood guy, but then also it's not like, it's just weird that it's like, it's not like, this is how they do it in movies, and therefore I have the knowledge to
right.
It's not like, it's not, I mean, that would be very postmodern like Scream, where it's like, we're going to, like, right. It's the Jamie Kennedy role.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just is just such a bizarre job for him to have that has zero meaning,
right.
Which is just like a weird.
Yeah, especially with the opening scene.
Right, exactly.
Yes, it's like, and then a tree comes through and
ruins
he should have
taken
the painting
with him.
Yeah.
We all
hate the opening.
I wonder if that's just to try and get you to, like, invest in this one world and then take you completely somewhere
else. Yeah.
Like,
right.
The trials and tribulations of being a human. And then it's like, oh, no, you got bigger fish to fry.
Just show
Thomas Jane.
Right, that's pretty good. But just show him Frenching his wife.
And that's true. That would be
little
better.
Boy for all
right.
that.
Because you were saying that you like the thing where it's the parent and the child.
Yeah, you wanted
I
them
do.
Frenching.
Yeah, but that might not be enough for me. I don't know.
You're saying Frenching might not be.
You want penetration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'll probably cut some of this out just because you really sound like a pedo.
I know.
I know, but what's done is done. So
when they're coming out, this is really minor, and I don't need to bring it up, but
I like
that
we're really going like, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
He comes out, and they give him a spare shirt because he's covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Who had this spare shirt?
Oh, no, it was hanging. It was hanging on the rack.
Why?
It's a grocery store in a small town.
But I thought it would make sense if they gave him like a grocery store
employee. Oh, because like, you know, in small towns, they sell clothes in grocery stores.
Okay, that makes sense. But also, that's like, I'm satisfied.
Because it's like a general store.
Yes. Okay. But I was frustrated when it was like, how, like when Audrey Brown's like, you're tricking me, but it's like, oh, if I only had the shirt with the blood on it to be able to convince you that like, I'm not making a joke. Yes.
But and I also, did when Audrey Brown's like, you're going to take me back there and there's going to be some rubber snake. And it's like, oh shit, do they do this shit to Audrey Brown all the time? Because it's like, he's like, clearly this has happened to him before.
Yes.
Right.
That they've made a fool like a
rivalry between them. Yes. So he's just mistrustful. But the thing that's weird to me is he's like, I don't buy that. The killer missed, I believe. But the well, eventually, I guess he stands up to the killer.
You know what I think?
Too.
I bought it. I bought Andre because I buy his performance and everything.
He's great.
But I think it was the word tentacle. Yeah. I think by being like, there were tentacles, it's like clearly we're landlocked.
Yeah.
Like we're not by the sea right now. There's nothing at the door that's got tentacles. That's it's such a fake word to use. You know what I mean?
Yes, I never thought
if
of
you had said like, there were claws or there was like, you know, something like that, that would sound more.
There was a convenience store monster or something. Something very local.
No, no, I do
But, like, tentacles is such a specific.
Yeah, we're not on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even though you thought they were at the end. You're like, I'm on a ship.
So, in my head, they were on a boat, like in a parade kind of.
Yeah, sure, a float maybe. Is that there.
That's the word I was looking for.
I also love that the religious chick, especially after watching like Misery, you know, when you have these religious zealots, they usually
and
don't
the
curse.
Was, the girl, the old lady was in Misery.
She's the wife. Oh my God, I loved her, but I didn't connect that that was
you
her.
You mean the old biddy?
Yeah.
I'm she's great. Like an old biddy.
I love that line. I love her. I was so glad she like makes it to our final five.
Yeah.
Big fan. But she says to the
final
blonde.
Final five, what ending are you referring to? They can't hear me wink on you.
He's winking. She says, the day I need a friend like you, I'll just have myself a little squat and shit one out.
Oh, Marcia Gay Harden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, she does a lot of cursing. Also, what about treat others as you'd like to be treated?
No,
I don't
she's
know which
going
testament
real Old Testament.
Treat others as you'd like to be treated is Old Testament.
That's
is
true.
It?
Yeah, Golden Rules Old Testament.
So I'm not religious.
Classic anti-Semitism.
I'm not religious at all.
Right,
so
right.
Like,
you don't have to be religious to be a raging anti-Semite.
But so like watching this where someone is so religious, it's kind of that thing of like, oh yeah, this is why I don't do this.
Yes, it is. It is. I was actually thinking about that. How it is funny that it is a classic in horror movies, like a bad person trope.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
of being religious or of being not religious.
No, of being a zealot, of being like super overly.
Yeah,
because
like she's no matter how nice anybody is to her, she's like, you sinner, you whore, you like.
Right.
She doesn't. It does. There's no like welcoming.
I thought the child would be an innocent that was to be saved.
No, she
at
wants
all costs.
To sacrifice
yeah.
the child. Yes.
Doesn't work that way. I like that she says the God of the Israelites, and he is a stern and vengeful God, because that's the one I grew up believing
yes.
in.
Yeah, that's right. All right, right, right.
He's a real asshole.
Yeah, that's very, like, very good point. Yes,
I have empathy for you because of my like steep Orthodox upbringing. I knew the word like kapara and atonement, but never expiation. I looked.
Oh,
it up.
Right.
That was
right,
just like
the blood,
not,
it, like what is it?
It's like a sacrifice to like an atonement. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's sacrifice. Kapara?
Kapara is the Hebrew for so like Yom HaKippurim comes
oh,
from
Kippur.
Kapara.
Oh.
Yeah, to repent, to atone. Mm. So I was like, I know the Hebrew.
Kapara.
Yeah. Kapara.
Kapara.
Beautiful.
Shalom.
But it's fun to hear her say bitch and shit. You're like, oh.
I feel like bitch weirdly always does play in like I feel like. Like religious people are always because it's like
right.
it's like
and
horror.
Slut.
Yeah. Horror, yeah,
yeah.
horror comes
like,
up
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
That's true.
I do. Actually, she's so scary in that scene where she gets punched and then she like picks off the blood and is like more for the sacrifice or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I do like that she doesn't even like she's not the only she doesn't even take the beat to be like I'm so upset. She's just like, ugh.
This is part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you're
like
feeding
it.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, she's really cool in her way.
Yes.
Yeah. She definitely takes control.
Yeah.
Hey, she knows what she wants, and
that's
she's
right.
going for it.
She wants lots of followers.
Yeah.
She's going to murder everybody else.
Yeah. We're talking about Insta followers, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Do you remember that line where someone says, do you happen to have a gun in this store? And he says, please, this isn't Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote that one down, too.
Good line.
Wait, what was the context of that again?
They're looking for a
in
gun.
In the grocery store.
It's like right before they do the rope out the door scene.
Oh, which is so good.
Before he gets the shotgun. He's like, do you have a gun in the store? And then the guy, the
Toby.
Owner Oh, it is?
I thought Toby ends up having
it's Amanda. Amanda has it in her purse because her husband gave it to her.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's not even loaded. Right.
Oh, and it's like, oh, this isn't Los Angeles, as in, like, we don't keep a gun in the store.
In the store, yeah.
But I was like, but you also are in, like, a rural place where there should be guns in the store.
Right. Where are they? They're near Portland?
I think they're in Maine, yeah.
Okay.
There is.
Yeah.
It's a Stephen King store.
So it's always Maine.
I believe that it's actually, there is a Castle Rock newspaper in it. Like, I think it is in Castle Rock.
Cool. Is Stephen King an atheist? Probably, right?
I don't know.
I think he is.
I wonder. This
he
movie
hates religion.
Of, yeah.
Guys, have you ever read Stephen King on writing?
No, but I want to.
You should.
It's a great book.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
All right, that's my next movie.
But I'm only saying that because if you're at, it's half an autobiography. Stephen turned me onto it, lest I take credit for
this
it.
This Stephen here, not Stephen
not
King.
Stephen King.
You're talking about Stephen King.
Stevie.
Can you imagine if no Stephen King name. Was like, you should really read my book.
Have you read Stephen King's on writing? You on writing? Sure, what the hell?
That's the one book he's pushing out of all of them.
But it's half autobiography, half writing.
Oh, cool.
Tutorial.
I gotta
which
read
is,
it. Yeah. That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, you had said this is like right before the rope stuff, which is true.
Yes. Yeah,
and that
true.
One hero ties the rope around his waist before he leaves. And
he
I like
said
this
one
line.
Hero.
Yeah, because he's doing it. He says, "Hey, crazy lady, I believe in God too. I just don't think he's the bloodthirsty asshole you make him out to be." Which I'm like, now you're going to end up bloodied because this movie's going to prove you wrong. And then she says, "Well, you take that up with the devil when you run into him. Just chat it over at your leisure." Which I really like that exchange.
Like you like the image of him and the devil chatting?
Yeah, and that's her comeback to it. You know, she thinks that that's the devil's doing to like not believe in an angry, bloodthirsty God.
Yeah, right.
Which is so weird.
Right. The idea of believing in a benevolent God to her is blasphemy.
Yes. Exactly. Mm. You put that exactly how I meant it.
Okay. Well,
what about me?
You haven't said a goddamn.
You put it the way I couldn't verbalize, but that's exactly it. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Again, how I grew up. You know?
But you guys think that she is correct. Like, that was your takeaway?
I think there's a strong case to be made.
I have to say, when I heard you say it, I thought, that's interesting.
That was
my
takeaway, which is why I get frustrated with the movie.
Because
that's how I've always interpreted it. Is that not right?
The woman, like, because, we've talked about all of this, but can I broach the ending for a second?
I think it's this movie, it might be worth it only because I think we can look at
the
other
ending
plot
is such
points.
A thing that really makes this movie special.
Yes, yes.
And so the big famous thing that we know about the ending is that Frank Darabont added it from the novella.
Yes.
That Stephen King didn't write it because Stephen King doesn't know how to write an ending.
Because he has an outline.
We will edit that part out. We love... No, I'm just kidding.
I believe that. I actually do. I love Stephen King.
No one loves Stephen King more than Stephen, my king.
and your queen.
I do. But it's like... But it's why it's like... And then at the end, in the novella, I'm pretty sure they just drive off into the mist.
Right, that's what I read.
Yeah. I read that they get a signal and they're like leaving this hotel.
Yeah, and
maybe?
It's kind of like, what's going to happen? We don't know.
Have you guys ever
read
that
they
short
had
stories?
The bullets.
No.
Yeah.
If you read his book of short stories, like by the fourth, they're great. But by the fourth amazing. One, every ending is the same. It's either and they drive off or it's and they drive off. But something lurked behind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do think that his short stories are my favorite form of his stories because with a short story you actually but you also don't ask for the same thing in a short story that you do from a longer piece of fiction.
Yeah, which is I think I would have liked this ending better. I was actually just talking about this with my husband before I got here. I'm like, if I had to read a really long book and this was the ending, I would feel more frustrated than if this was the ending to a short story.
Yes,
because I think it's a great ending to a short story.
Oh, but you're saying the movie ending.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's interesting. Well, at least I think for me, what I'm searching for is, like, in an ending, it is, like, it feels like a cohesive piece that's making a statement.
Yeah.
Which I do think the movie version does, but I do understand that it's bleak, that you don't like it.
Right before it happens, okay, so for anybody who doesn't know, even though you probably should know, they're trying to escape the monsters. Eventually, they run out of gas.
Well, and they also escape the monsters being Marcia Gay Harden.
Yes.
That's why they leave
all
their
the monsters.
By the way, if you haven't seen this movie, this is about to be a giant spoiler.
Yeah.
See the movie.
Watch the movie. Yeah. But they leave with a gun. There's five of them, including his son, a little boy, and there's only four bullets. And David says, "I'll figure something out." And basically, it's like a mercy killing of everybody but him.
Yeah, he's so sure that they're all going to die a much more gruesome death.
Yes.
So he says. Yeah.
So he gets out of the car, basically, like the I Know What You Did Last Summer. Like, what are you waiting for? Just take me now. And I had the thought. I was like, if instead of it being monsters, it's like help. and they've survived, that is going to be so much more depressing. Yeah. But I didn't think they were going to do it. But I had the thought as soon as he got out of the car. And then sometimes that would ruin it. It's like, oh, I saw that coming. It didn't at all, because I never thought they would go for it. Yeah. And it was so bleak and heartbreaking and painful. But also, I thought, so satisfying.
Well, and I had the girl from the beginning.
Yes.
Which I think that might be my favorite scene. It's That's like great. Her Jerry Maguire of like, who's yes. coming with me?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well,
and all the men are just looking at the ground.
Yes. And we're all, at least for me watching it, I'm like, they're right to not go with her.
So this is the thing that we were talking about. What's so great about this movie is that they deal, like, her performance at the beginning makes me feel like everything that's happening is real. Like, the guy who comes in screaming, I'm like, it feels like a little bit campy, but like, it's fun. But her performance really grounds the reality. Really does. Of it.
If you love her, she's still on The Walking Dead.
Oh, is she really?
Wow. Yeah, she's like one of the main characters.
Well, it does not surprise me that she's had a long and illustrious career. Even though I've never seen The Walking Dead. But we were talking about how the fact that, so she asks anyone to help her, and everyone's like, I've got, like, the main character is like, I've got my own boy to take care of. Mm-hmm. Which in a normal story, like, you wouldn't, like, that's what's so amazing, is that they actually deal with, like, these human, that is a very human moment for that. Like, in a normal story, the hero would be like, I'll go with you.
Right.
And then it's a movie where it's like, okay, now we're in the mist and we're mm-hmm. going to get her daughter back. And it's like, that would be what the movie is. But instead they're like, no, thank you. We're going to protect our own.
Yeah.
But then the movie makes the point at the very end, like when she passes by, or like, this is what, I've never thought this before, but I was like, I think this is telling me that the entire movie is he's being punished for not having helped her at the beginning, which is weird, I think. I think it's, well, yeah,
I
ahead.
Just think it's funny because I didn't have that. No one else. I mean, that's a unique interpretation from you that you think is true, and it doesn't make sense because.
Yes, yes. Although that, it's just like such a bizarre, but like, I just don't understand what the other like context of like seeing her again alive with her kids is beyond saying like, well, if you had gone with that woman, you would have been alive. But
there is also a really dark possibility of, again, to your point, Jessica, that Marsha Gay Harden is right, because as soon as he sacrifices his son
and the woman, because they say they both have to die.
That was my interpretation. That she's right.
Yeah, and because they wanted the whore and the child dead.
She also says something about the seven plagues, which I looked up because I was like, there's ten plagues. What are you
You're
talking about?
Short of an omelet. Yeah.
A huge omelet. Oh, right.
Hold on, a 10 plague omelet.
Scroll down because I pulled it up. It says the traditional number of 10 plagues is not actually mentioned in Exodus, and other sources differ. Psalm 78 and 105 seem to list only 7 or 8 plagues and order them differently. But the 10th plague in that scenario is number 7. So the 10th plague would be the death of the firstborn. Mm. So that to me was very interesting. Mm. Like, if the
or in
seven
Hebrew,
plagues.
Ifo Hashiru Tim.
Where is the bathroom is what he just said. But yeah, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that actually
up.
Is a pretty good analysis. I like that. Spooky. But,
very spooky.
Yeah. Well, what's weird, okay, but return to my, returning back to my
point. My theory. Yeah.
No, actually, it's not correct. It's just,
I mean, if he had gone with her theoretically.
Well, there's also like an interesting idea of like, I wonder what her movie's about.
Yeah.
She leaves and goes off. We see her with 2 children, so I'm guessing those were her kids at the end. And like, what's her story? Who'd she meet up with?
You know,
right, did she just survive and it was easy, or did she have to fight something off? She doesn't look like battered.
She doesn't look battered.
She just gets picked up by the army as she's like heading back to the kids.
I have 2 statements. One is, in this modern day, cannibalize all of our existing IP world. Mm-hmm. You sell that movie, or you pitch that movie, you're off to the races.
Yeah. It's trademark. I trademark it.
Yes, great. Right. It's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are not dead because they went. They left.
Yeah.
To your point, I think the reason I don't know that I think that is true, that that's punishment for that, is that she survives. Like, she doesn't need. Like, she doesn't. It's not like they let this person die, therefore they get. Like, what's to be punished for? She
survives.
That's
interesting. And also, she's just trying to protect her kids, and he's just trying to protect his.
Totally. Yeah.
Right. But she. It's not like she. Like, he sees.
So why would his action be
could
worse?
Be luck of
like,
the draw?
Proving that she survived isn't like, see, you should have done something. She's fine.
It's kind of like, you made the right decision.
You might even say
that he made the right decision, or that she did.
Both of them.
I don't think he did.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he did. Maybe he had to kill that kid to survive. That's what you're positing. That's,
I know.
I did feel like, why don't you just at least wait until you're a little hungrier or you hear some more monsters approaching?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or something's rocking the car.
I think at least hang out.
Tell jokes.
But seeing it on this go round, I felt like, sure. But just eventually we're going to get there. If the point is that it's going to happen and then all the survivors are going to come immediately after, then what does it matter what they do first, if that's the point?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, no matter what, if the ending is they're all going to die and then people are going to come out and it's all fine, then it doesn't really matter what we see leading up to that.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't know that people are going to be there and everything's going to be fine, obviously.
No, I know, but, like, from, like, the audience standpoint, yeah, like, I could have watched, like, 10 minutes of them run out of stuff and then he does it. It's the same effect
to
me.
Okay, that's another film we can write. all in the Mistiverse.
I just thought, like, maybe a flash forward of, like, they sleep in the... You know, it just felt very sudden to me.
I think the... All of the... There have been...
Because they didn't have any food in the car.
Didn't have any food, and there's been... It's been a very upsetting day. Couple
it's been
of days
a rough
for
couple
everyone.
Of days.
I think they're...
They
I think
could not run the mist. They thought that they could.
That's... Yeah, and I feel like there are so many, like... plots that you think, like, oh, this person's definitely going to make it. Like, you don't think that Andre Brower is going to die when you first start the movie. You don't think, you're like, oh, a love story between this, the army.
They're becoming friends.
And then, like, all of those people systematically
die. Oh, I see. You're talking about the other guy.
I was
saying Andre
but then I went with what you
love
said.
Love story.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I was thinking, like, buddy love story, but
no,
you meant,
but
yes,
a
buddy.
Yes,
the
no, but
Sally
you
and the guy.
That.
The what?
Sally in the guy in the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where she's like, I don't want to do it here. And it's like, oh, you should have.
This is how I imagined it.
You should have. You're going to die.
Yeah. But also, like all of
oh, her death is so.
Yeah, that's brutal.
I did remember that part. And I didn't know the context, but I just remembered big neck.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
It's like big head, big face, big a lot.
But it's like such a startling thing. This is going to sound so like anti-feminist. But to do it to someone so pretty was like something that I remembered from it.
Yeah.
It was like, she was so pretty and then they made her so ugly.
That's horror movies have been doing for centuries.
Not true. Movies have not existed for centuries. Fact check.
I like.
Yeah, we don't fact check our podcast.
Okay, wait. I don't know. Are we staying with the ending? Are we going back?
Yeah, keep going.
Go.
Finish up the ending. What else you got to say?
No, I have stuff earlier. So if we're still on.
Are we done with the ending?
I thought it was worth talking about the ending because we can always come back to it. But now we can talk about these other plot points because sometimes
freely
they might interest.
Leading up. Yes.
Yes, they might offer an interesting lens for the ending.
Yes.
I have one more thing to say about the ending, which is kind of what Jessica was saying about. The reaction to the ending was really disheartening, and I was saying at the beginning that we were hinting at the catharsis that you don't really get from this movie,
right?
And that this movie is kind of telling you that there isn't going to be a catharsis, which is what I like about it. Is it actually is setting you, it's priming you for the ending. Like it's not like it comes out of nowhere. Just to differentiate it from a movie that I think does this really poorly, is. Systematically, one by one, everyone dies, and it's so bleak, and it's just like nihilistic.
Yeah.
And this movie, I didn't think was that. First of all, there's like people like that survive at the end, but it also, I love the ending, even though it doesn't have a catharsis, because it does feel like the most. It feels like the most upsetting thing that could happen, but that is what I want from this movie, and that's the end of my point.
I think it is probably the most upsetting thing that could happen, but there is also a catharsis in them dying on their own terms as opposed to being attacked by monsters, or also just that it's over for them.
Yes.
That they're not living in this hell.
Yeah. Well, also, it's just from a slightly more just zoomed out of any movie you're watching, it is frustrating when it's like for how you – like almost – assumed and implicit in the premise of watching a movie is that there's a unique premise to this movie. And then so many movies end the exact same way, even horror movies.
Right.
They could take all these left turns and right turns, and then it's like, and then they win. Yeah. And then he hugs his wife, and then his son hugs his leg.
And then he thinks,
huh, wow, I could fuck my son. And then we get, there's how many movies end with the scene of the father fucking the son? And it's like, great, everyone takes it out of the theater and masturbates to it. But then at the end of the day, we're still getting the same ending. No, but seriously.
But it's also like when you see the mom and the spider. The mom in the spider web.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, well, he's got a hot blonde next to him. I think it's going to be okay. Like, new mom.
In the novella, he and this woman fed.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
But then they took it out of this.
It right seems point. Like they're definitely hinting at it, but I'm glad it doesn't happen.
I do like the ending better than the idea of that of it just ending with them driving off.
Well, there's to that point.
I like, do appreciate that.
It is a specific
that.
End to it's a specific like, movie, yes. which is cool.
Because I do sometimes, it depends on the movie, but I do get more frustrated sometimes with the, just the open ending.
Yeah.
Unless it's an
it has to be really
independent
well done.
Movie that's like really sad and dramatic, then I tend to like those
so,
endings.
Yeah.
But
to me, it's
but
like
for
it's
horror, this, I don't like those yeah. endings. For
pretty it feels much, like a cop-out in yeah. any situation. Yeah.
Because it feels like the story's not over.
Yes.
What's the end of your story?
Yeah. You tell us.
I've seen yeah. so yeah. many indie movies where it's like, should we go left or right?
End.
Left.
yeah. yeah. No, that's and, good. That's
yeah,
a decision.
Yeah, left is a decision. yeah, yeah, right, right. And it's like, I guess the difference is when you can feel like sometimes you can feel like the writer knows, legitimately knows.
Is the top still turning?
Is the top still turning?
Yeah, yeah. Inception.
I got yes. it.
It's like, did I not? I acted it out. So
yeah. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I got it. Is the top. But yeah, anyway.
There is also an argument to be made that this ending is more hopeful than Stephen King's ending because it's not the characters that we're invested in, but it is more of a survival.
Mm, right.
It's about humanity.
Well, and I was glad yeah. that Marcia Gay Harden got kicked out before.
Oh, yeah. It's so satisfying. I imagined if I watched that in the theater that everybody would cheer when she gets
you know,
shot.
I forgot exactly what had happened because it had been so long. And in my brain, it wasn't the girl from Walking Dead. It was Marcia Gay Harden on the float.
Huh.
That's in my brain how I remembered it. So then when she got killed, I was like, oh, didn't
Well, Steve
didn't
was saying that,
that
he remembered Andre Brower was in on the tank with him at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the
right.
car.
Yeah. You rewrote the endings for yourselves.
yeah.
The dream
now,
version.
Now, speaking of Andre Brower.
Yeah.
In my memory, mm-hmm. okay, so he goes out into the mist, and then the rope comes back bloody.
Yeah.
But the rope, I think the guy's legs are not him. The
no.
guy's legs are the
cyclist, the motorcycle
yeah, the
guy.
Motorcyclist.
Not a cyclist.
Do they ever confirm the brow
no.
man is dead?
No, I did some Googling too just to see if there were any interesting theories. And nothing particularly interesting. Just like either he died or he didn't. But it seems to suggest that
theories.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Right. And I think he did. It's like.
What if he was just on the truck with that woman on the bridge?
But he had like his arms crossed. Yeah. Like angry about it.
I still think it was a hoax.
The funny thing is that.
I never saw tentacles.
He's so mad when he leaves. I thought that there would be. And he does say, like, maybe they believe it and they're just delusional. But it's like, you think that at a certain point he's like, okay, maybe they're wrong, but they weren't trying to fool me. They do believe
this. I was complaining about this.
I think it's fear, though.
That's what Steven said.
Yeah.
I was like.
It was denial.
Yes. When they first say the thing to him and he's like, rubber snake, yada, yada, I was like, I totally buy that. And, like, that seems like a great first reaction.
Also, if anyone's like, come back to the storeroom or whatever, no, thank you.
Yes.
Although, I'm going to stay here where everybody else is.
Yes, totally fair. Although, even that, it was like, given the opening to the movie where he's like, let me give you a ride into town. In fact, actually, as I remember it, Andre Barrett asks for a ride into town.
Are you going into town? Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, you brought me to this store to pull a little prank on me.
Right.
What he has to assume is there is a disaster, because there is. It's like the mist. And now you're going to play a little rubber snake prank on me because I sued you previously. Like,
right.
Which, again, if it's fear, that's fine. But I was like, that can only that reaction, in my understanding.
It's like a first beat, but not the continual.
So then not only does it last for that whole scene and it doesn't change even there, but then even the scene when he's leaving, he's like, I still think you guys are
right.
Well, I do understand. I do understand what you guys are saying. But I do think that I love that in the movie, people don't all have the same reactions to the same things. And I do think that in extreme emergency situations, that is a totally legitimate, like, real thing that happens to people.
Yeah. Yes. And talking about people having different reactions, when they are starting to worry about Mrs. Carmody, however you say it, and they say that she's our very own Jim Jones, I was like, they're acting like they're like a government afraid of being overthrown. Like,
well, I think
what
they
were.
Worry?
No, I know, but what I'm saying is
they were about to be overthrown.
I know. To me, it seemed in that moment so overdramatic. I was like, well, this is, she's just a lady. And so then it was satisfying, even though I know logically, oh, that's foreshadowing, something's going to happen. I was like, how dangerous can she be? And then it was cool to see, oh, very.
Right.
Because it seemed like so.
histrionic on their part.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That's a perfect
word.
Well,
and I was doing a little bit of research, and IMDb tried to explain the wasp scene under the trivia.
Like locusts? Is that what it was supposed to be?
Well, they call it wasp in IMDb.
Okay.
I can't speak for
what it is. Just
because
locusts are one of the plagues. Yeah.
Do locusts sting?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, IMDb chose the word wasp, but it said on IMDb, it was like, she thinks that she was chosen because it didn't sting her. In actuality, it might just be because she was standing perfectly still, and bees don't really sting you if you're standing still.
I like the open-endedness of that, too. Like, I think there really is a case to be made in either direction.
I mean, that is a good, that moment is a good argument for your overall thing, that she's hip to what's going on.
That was the first moment where I thought, oh, she really is. Like some sort of prophet,
right.
Chosen person.
Now, Stephen and I are afraid of bees.
Bees are the great equalizer.
Yeah, you can be the strongest, toughest big boy in the world,
but you should be scared of a bee.
One time, Stephen and I were at the mustard seed, and there was a bee, and we almost killed it. And then a mean man said, "Don't kill it." Like it's we were.
Yeah, they're dying already.
Yeah. But them. This was
just don't be afraid, and it won't sting you.
Yeah, they die when they sting you.
Yes.
So they'll only sting you
when
they
I
have
was
to.
14 years old. I had been stung 14 times, once
God.
A year, every year of my life.
On the same day.
Yeah. I'd been stung.
Not his birthday, interestingly enough.
I had been stung in my belly button. I had been stung on my lip.
I got stung inside my ear once.
I got stung inside my ear once.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Yeah, and so I don't care
I've never
much
been
for the bee
stung by a bee. Never.
I've never been stung by a bee, but I've been stung by yellow jackets.
Aren't they kind of bee? No.
Well, it's not AB. Yellow Jacket's not dying out.
Okay.
Yellow Jacket
so fuck
is
them.
To be as like a Satsuma is to an orange.
It's more like, I think a yellow jacket's more like a wasp.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Or like a mandarin.
Because they're big.
I don't know
tangerine.
They're in Texas tangerine. And they're awful. Mm,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
They hurt more. This
yeah.
Stings,
yeah.
Got stung by a wasp on my leg once.
This is really dumb.
Number 12.
Imagine how bad it hurt that big one.
Were you kind of that one as you be?
The big ones in this one.
Oh.
I don't like, I, okay, bugs are fine. But when you see them like that, where they're in such big numbers, like, and they're so monstrous
well,
in size,
like,
even
off
with
the lights,
effect.
Why are they turning on the lights? This is so they are like moths to a flame, and then
yeah,
they turn on the emergency
that was in my
lights.
Notes too. Immediately, I was like, "Hey, turn off the lights."
Yeah, turn them off.
I've had a bug zapper before.
Yeah, we've all seen Jurassic Park by this point.
Yeah,
right. I saw once, kind of drunk in 3D.
Wait, that's it?
What?
That's it. I know.
How are we not
crazy.
Doing that for this podcast
well,
right
we
now?
We could do Jurassic Park.
You should watch
We'll
Jurassic
do The Blob Park. And then Jurassic Park. You guys are great. So we'll
I love The Blob.
Yeah, yes. I'm excited about it just because all three of you like it.
Talk more about how great we are for just
yeah,
one
yeah,
second.
You were saying something earlier.
You guys are pretty good. And yes, I'm happy to be around you. Oh, sorry. Great. Pretty great. Yeah. I got nervous. This doesn't make any sense. But when they're leaving the grocery store to go to like the pharmacy, I was like, bring bags. How are you going to? And they at the CVS too, but there's definitely bags like at the checkout. Right. Mm. Like
surely
you're trying to grab as many
to
as
NPR,
you can.
You have a tote.
Yeah. Well, there's all the like plastic. I'm not right. plastic. The paper brown bags there. Like just bring them so you're not.
That had my scariest image in it. In the pharmacy.
Where he falls and the bugs spill
out of
it?
Yep,
body,
that's the one. Being like one. All those little spiders on the ground like that. It was like, leave everybody, get out of there.
I was frustrated by the kind of trying to tie the monsters to like real world things where it's like, they're spiders, but they're hell spiders. Or they're bees, but they're hell spiders. It was like, just make them a little different. They don't need to have the threads, what's it called? Web?
Yeah, the acid web.
Acid web?
I didn't mind the acid web because I thought that was cool when it like cuts his leg.
That was cool.
I thought the tentacle part was cool when it, as soon as it like touches you, it's like skin is just gone.
Yes.
I thought that effect was cool.
Like rips it off you.
Yeah, like there was no sound. Because I don't like sound. There was no sound or anything. It was just like gone. Like that's how easy. Yeah. I did think that part. I know the tentacles didn't look great, but that effect,
also,
I was like, oh, this
well,
shit will fuck
the best
you
part
up.
Of
that's, yeah.
I haven't seen because it's the most realistic part.
When they poke the tentacle, I thought that was well done.
Yes.
That's
practical. A practical tentacle.
Yeah.
And then it disappears. And I was like, oh no, Andre Brower didn't
see
it.
I had the same thought. And then he never comes back anyway. But I had that same. I was like, he's not going to believe you.
He's not going to believe you.
We had a discussion about this exact moment.
You guys had too many discussions beforehand.
I know. Well, we were like,
save it
what
next
are we going to say? Okay, we should. But it's weird because it's like they do, and we were like, they do like the fade to black and then they fade up, which we're like,
yeah, I thought the fade to black was weird.
There were a lot of fades.
There's a lot of fades, but I actually, for this movie, I like it because it's not a single location, real time, where it's like, to 2 hours, which is what they do a lot. Yeah. It's kind of like it allows you to kind of deal with different situations.
Yeah.
Like just get past, like there's not the immediacy of like having to deal with like one thing after another. It's kind of like, right, if people are like kind of hanging around for a while,
it almost
next?
Feels like acts in a play where it's
yes.
like
yes.
yeah but that can make me feel like we were further along though, because yes, that is well, at some point they did. Were like, it's been 2 days, and I was like, what,
it's only yeah. been 2 days.
Yeah,
I thought it was like a week.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But it was weird that they did it after the tentacle moment, because to us that was saying to the audience, now the reality is everyone knows that the monsters are real.
Right.
Because, like, the thing kind of fades down. And at first, like, you're going, like, oh, no, not everyone's going to see it. But then it, like, fades to black. And you're like, oh, I guess that doesn't really matter. But yeah. then Andre Brower's, like, but then there
still
are still people
it.
Who don't
yeah.
believe.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it was a frustrating communication of those
also,
ideas.
Also, where do they think the grocery boy went?
Right. Well,
like,
exactly.
if you don't believe it,
yes.
yeah. he's
this
hiding.
Is why I wanted, like, if they had brought Andre Brower in and it sizzled away right before he saw it.
Yeah.
Then I would be like,
it helps oh. that. Yeah.
I would be like, he has every reason to be like, you motherfuckers.
You told me
to
there
me.
Was something
yeah.
back
yeah.
here.
I would have been so frustrated by that.
yeah.
Like
yeah.
those, I was
so
frustrated by the
moments.
Sizzling. I was like, it's like not.
There's
that.
Our proof.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's what it actually is a turn, like those kinds of things in movies where it's like, no, the person, like getting a person to believe something in a movie where
yes.
it's just like, just.
It's funny because I agree with you 100%, but you like that Andre Brower doesn't believe him.
I know, but I would have been very frustrated if it was like, he just missed seeing the thing.
I agree it would be more frustrating, but it would be more earned.
Yes.
I think it would be frustrating in a way that I could empathize with.
Yeah.
Instead, I was frustrated
where
I was
behind.
Like, I actually don't understand.
Oh, well, why don't yeah. you guys become writing partners and directing partners together?
I'm down. Okay, let's do it.
No.
Can we also take a moment, and maybe this was just me, but I feel like the kid very quickly is concerned about his mom, and our protagonist is not at all concerned about his wife until like
piece.
The
yeah,
third quarter of the movie.
Yeah.
He like doesn't care.
Right after halftime, yeah.
He's not, yeah. yeah. He's not
I will say one thing
her.
I was surprised at is like there's a lot to be made about there's this kid in the store, you know?
Yes.
And then at one point when the bugs are flying around, we see a girl holding her daughter, another little girl, and
yeah,
I was like, why aren't the kids together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is there another happens? Kid we haven't seen?
Yes.
To that other little girl.
Support.
Yeah. And then we never, at least I don't remember seeing her again, but I was
no,
like,
I was
there's another kid.
Yeah.
You
they should be
kid.
Friends. Yeah. Maybe they're soulmates.
Maybe they are, but he's
too
dead,
late.
So.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. I don't know. Did that bug anybody else where you're like, do you care about your dead, probably dead wife?
I didn't. No, it didn't bother me because in my brain, I'm like, he can put it aside and be like, okay, maybe she's just fine. I just got to get out of here. Like,
is she just fine, though?
That's how I would do. You got to deal with your current situation.
I guess.
Because
he doesn't know how far the fog goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's a bad
The mist.
Yeah.
God
yeah,
damn
they
it.
Should, they,
the mist,
there should
the
have
mist.
Been a scene where he, like, is like...
goes to be by himself and has
yeah,
a cry.
And,
or
yeah,
something.
And has a cry. Looks at a picture, has a cry.
Yeah.
Do you know what
he's
I realized?
He's a man. He can't.
Yeah, he can't cry. That's true.
He can go
charge.
Look at the picture, have a...
Wank.
Mm.
Oh, wank. Okay.
Well, because you guys keep talking about jacking off to little boys.
I didn't
no,
say jacking off.
We're
talking
about
fucking
them.
Little boys.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Jacking. What are we?
You just want you want other fluid to come out when he's upset.
Oh, yeah.
Instead
of
crying.
Tie out of his wiener.
Right. Cries from his dick. What were you going to say? Can I tell you what?
I just a weird thing that I realized about this movie is that it opens with a storm, but then the storm is unconnected.
Wait,
it's an electrical storm.
Oh.
I think
that's what takes all the power out.
Yeah, I know, but it's bad. I agree.
I was like, it just don't have the beginning storm.
Well,
just
I thought
have
the electrical storm, maybe I just don't understand how anything
I thought
works,
it was...
but could be tied to the military base.
Yeah, that's
yes,
what I
yes.
thought was it was that the window must... opening.
Yeah.
As they
yes,
say later.
That's yeah. got to be it. But it was raining, right?
Yes,
yeah.
there is. Because there were rain sound effects that I heard while the rain was raining.
So you really should have noticed that. But yeah, I was like, it's two storm things. And they
yeah.
felt disconnected. But maybe what you're saying is right, where it is connected, where
I
it's like that.
Yeah, I thought that was like the catalyst.
I wonder if there's anything biblical to, like, my grandfather's tree, because there's so many biblical
so
overtones
weird.
And undertones.
Yeah, that
grandfather's
was strange.
Tree.
Yeah.
Grandfather's tree.
I think
the
that's
enough.
It
was so bizarre.
That smashes
yeah.
through the
it's
house.
So weird. Oh,
yeah.
my stupid
Meanwhile, a different
paintings.
Tree fell through the car.
Right. Two trees.
One property.
Love I learned that. A few words from Mrs. Carmody. I learned puling, where she said, cut your chicken shit whining or I will cut your puling tongue out. Did you know that?
No.
Also, she says piousness. I thought only piety was
piety,
a word,
yeah.
but piousness is also a word.
That's like satiety and satiated.
Yeah. Or sated also.
Sated, yes. It's crazy. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Or is there also satiation?
No. We'll get back to you on that one, babe.
Anyway, this was good for my vocabulary.
Guys, wait, what is puling?
Puling is cry querulously or weakly.
What, isn't there also mewling that also means like whimper?
Whoa. All right. These are your words of the day.
The gist.
The one time I jumped, my one jump scare was in the pharmacy. And to your point, when you guys were talking about humor and whatever, scaring somebody, but it's just the guy, but then he's farting, but it's a dangerous fart.
Yeah.
It was gold.
Callback.
But there's a moment where there's like a smash, but it's just somebody like knocking something over. Yeah. And that was my one jump scare.
Really?
Where I actually jumped.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anybody else jump there? No?
No. Mine's not about jump scare. Mine's about when he hits his head in the beginning.
Oh, mine is just that it isn't a movie that is predicated. It's not a lot of jumpy scares. It's a lot more like horror.
And psychological dread.
Yeah, stuff, yeah.
I think my scare was the first bug that landed. I knew something was coming. And then it just hits with such a hard thud.
Yeah.
On the play class?
I don't know if it jump scared me, but it was unsettling. Yes. It was like a very unsettling moment.
Now, do you guys, just as horror movie new fans and old fans, because I a lot of times fans do separate into camps where like some people love jumpy jump scares. Like that they want to go just jump.
I'm raising my hand.
Got it. And yeah, you like a more plotting, dread-filled.
You know, I think
she likes more character development.
Via Jessica, I'm like learning. I'm starting to enjoy the jump scares a little more. Yeah. Like I jumped and I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Like, and I remember in high school, I
love jump scares.
I was terrified. Same. I was like, the worst thing in the world is to have a jump scare. Oh, yeah, no, don't do that to me.
If I watch a scary movie and like I miss the jump, I'm mad.
Right, it's like you didn't get to go down the drop on the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's like going to a haunted house and like not getting the scares. I waited in line for what? Yeah. To just walk through and watch other people get scared?
No, I was very anti, and now I can get behind a jump scare. Yeah. Now I'm enjoying it. But what scared me the most and what I found myself having to, like, not think about at night is when Private Jessup, who really is a victim of 90s overplucking.
I was going to say, those eyebrows were so gorgeous.
I had to look him up just to see what they look like now, and they look normal.
Be natural. Good.
Yeah. Did you not notice?
As a man
maybe
with
it was
bushy
a character
eyebrows.
Choice.
Yeah, you know, I actually didn't notice.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm actually kind of eyebrow noticey.
Wow.
Well, because I feel like I have Michael Keaton's situation.
You do. You totally do. I hadn't noticed that. They were very distracting to me. Jessica, did you notice?
No.
Wow. Well, just me and Steven.
Well, also, it was just weird to me because he was very well groomed for an army man.
Yeah.
That I did notice. I kind of just was like, he's very pretty for
Yeah. And he would be pretty either way, but the eyebrows. Yeah.
As a bushy eyebrowed man, I say let it grow.
Yeah, let it grow.
I wonder how soft the inside of his mouth is if I were to get a finger in there.
This is a callback to something that.
That was not on mic.
Not on the podcast.
Before the podcast, I put my really finger random. In someone's mouth and it was silky in there.
Okay, so the scariest moment.
Not
to
someone
me.
In this room, though. Clarify.
Nope.
It was years ago.
Jessica doesn't even remember it. She's God, blocked it out. He gets stabbed and she shouts, "Feed him to the beast." And the way that his hands are curled up, they're like sort of claw-like as they're passing him to the front of the store. Yeah. It's like the most terrifying crowd surf I've ever seen.
Yes.
And super Lord of the Flies. And then he's like grasping at the edges, trying not. Yeah. That, to me, was the
brutal.
Scariest
And then
part.
He puts his bloody hand on the door.
Yeah. But the lead up to it was like... The stabbing was, I think it's still in keeping with, like, torture scares me the most. So I thought he was going to die from the stabbing. And the fact that he's, like, got all these stab wounds and he's betrayed by everyone there. And he's also just lost two of his friends. Yes. And
now, how would that have felt if Sally had still been alive and she was in the crowd trying to stop it?
Mm. Oh. Mm.
But I'm just saying it would have added to the scene to have her there.
Yeah.
Instead of killing her off so soon.
I was kind of glad because I was like, at least they're both dead together now.
Right.
I know, but it would have made it more bleak if she was still there.
Maybe another movie in the mist versus
true.
Them in heaven. Yeah. Doing all the positions.
She was saving herself for heaven. Yeah. But that was legit terrifying to me.
Oh,
I felt very anxious during that scene.
Yes.
I do think that I actually was surprised by how upsetting all of like the human-to-human interactions in the movie are.
Yeah.
Sorry to keep hammering home at it, but that is
the monsters within.
Yes, I do think that the kid crying at the beginning was also one of the most upsetting parts to me, where Thomas Jane walks off with him and he's just super scared, because I was like, this feels so real.
That kid is a good actor.
He was really good.
Yeah.
I looked him up on IMDb and saw him and like what he looks like now.
9 inches.
I'm just kidding. He's only 9 inches tall. That's what you mean, right?
Yep.
Nobody's like, and then it's just, he turns and they grow up so fast, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. What is he doing now?
I don't know. I just saw the little picture and I was like, oh, he grew up into a man. But then I didn't click on it. Wow.
You just had to know that he grew up into a man.
Yeah. Yeah. They grow up so fast, don't they? But yes, that him getting dragged out, I was like, ooh, really upsetting stuff.
Yeah,
that was the thing that I had to actively not think about before bed.
Wow.
Even though the ending is so upsetting, that to me was like the most
dreadful.
I can't, given what time you texted us, wow. I'm actually amazed. That's late before bed to be watching the
Halloween. Yeah, it's true. Look at me. I've come a long way.
I think it was an 11:09 text, obviously.
Is that real?
Yeah.
I like that they let the supermarket manager back in at the end.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, they don't leave him out to die. That was cool.
Is it because Marcia Gay Harden's dead? So they don't know what to do now?
Yeah.
They're are we committed to being mean? I don't remember.
Right. Yeah, I think that's exactly it.
And also, she dies Christ-like.
Yes, she
does. Her arms out.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that they just use that fucking Christ shit in just so many movies and it's supposed to be so resonant?
They use that fucking Christ shit.
Well, it's kind of better here because she specifically believes in
The it's great.
And God she says, I'm your vessel so many
but
times.
It's about the least subtle thing you can do.
Yeah.
Correct. Right.
Having someone die in cross formation is like, we get it.
Yeah.
Rock. The Christ.
Although
the
Christ. I could almost see her as she's getting killed making a point of falling in that.
She was thinking that before she got that second shot.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. She's like, all right, if I'm doing this, I'm committing.
My goal is to die with West Side hands, so I, with Tupac West Side hands. So I understand where she's going, but she has her own goals.
It's kind of the same thing, yeah.
Absolutely. It's my religion.
Did you guys see that 3 days ago, I just think this is such crazy timing, Thomas Jane, and I guess this is maybe his producing partner, Courtney Lauren Penn, launched Renegade Entertainment and team with Stephen King for a thriller. And it's unclear if it's going to be a movie or a series or what.
I did see this.
This just happened. Yeah.
Wait, wasn't it they were going to do one story where it's like, why are you doing that story?
From a Buick 8? I don't know anything about it, but yeah.
Okay, I actually haven't read it, so I don't want to insult the avid
the
King readers out there.
It seems.
But it's one of.
Not that.
It seems like a. We
of all the Stephen King.
I'm not going to see it, and I love Stephen King. I'm not going to watch
grass. Stopped watching every... It used to be like, oh, another Stephen King thing. I'll watch it. And now it's like, oh, everything's a Stephen King thing.
But we're watching a lot for this podcast.
We are.
Well, that's because he's... I mean, some of the great horror
films. So it's like we're going through ones that I hadn't seen.
Yeah. Example. And some of the great non-horror, Shawshank Redemption or...
We saw Misery.
Love, Stand By Me.
Yeah. We did Misery. We did Pet Cemetery. Mm-hmm.
The Shining.
Have you done The Shining? Yeah.
I'd seen that one.
Carrie.
We haven't done Carrie yet.
Carrie is fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it in
years.
But so this is our fourth Stephen King?
I feel like there's one more that maybe.
It?
No.
And we had Stephen Weber who was in The Shining.
Maybe that's all I was thinking.
Maybe that's why you think it's another one?
Yeah, maybe.
Wait, who's Stephen Weber in The Shining?
He's in the Shining TV show. Oh. He's Jack.
He was Jack.
Oh.
So we got some cool stories from him on that. But
did
I just
you ask any Party Down stories?
Was he on Party Down?
Yeah, one of the best episodes.
I don't remember.
It's a great
I got to go back. I think
no,
I
it was a horror podcast.
Oh, right.
We also didn't ask about Wings.
We didn't.
I used to watch a lot of Wings when I was sick at home.
Because
it was on a little thing
called... It was on USA.
Yes, and what they called it when they played it in the morning was USAM.
Very nice. The final song I read was The Host of Seraphim by Dead Can Dance.
Wait, like in the one where it's like,
Where it plays forever.
The name of the band. You hated it?
It was just so...
I fast-forwarded through all that, by the way. Once I realized there was no dialogue, I hit fast-forward.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't know I was going to...
You've seen it before.
And I also was like running short on time because it was so much longer than I thought. And I was like, I have to record.
Maybe it shouldn't have been 2 hours. We can all agree on that.
No.
A very music.
An hour 50. It could have been an hour 50. Yeah. Okay.
Mm. All right. Maybe.
It's a very music light movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I think is really good. It helps it feel super grounded.
Yeah.
Like it's not editorialized by music.
Yes.
And I love
impressed.
That it's basically one.
Contained. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same thing. I always love when they can. It's so hard to pull off.
It's very hard to make that as entertaining as they do.
That would be cool to see as a play on Broadway.
The Mist?
Yeah.
It's actually
yes. That's a good idea,
I right? I love that idea.
Wouldn't I mean, in this good? IP cannibalizing itself world.
Make it a musical and the bugs oh are like dancers.
The that would be bugs great. Are coming. They're spiders.
It would be, and then they could have a practical, like, tentacle.
Yeah.
And it would be and way better.
Yeah.
The bugs could be like Cirque du Soleil people.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That's actually pretty good.
Cool. Where it's like two people doing copyright. One bug costume.
I don't know how to go about making this happen.
Trademarked.
That's all you have to do is say trademarked.
I love that she gets stoned. Marcia Gay Harden
yes.
gets stoned by the
oh,
old lady.
Oh, I thought
lady,
meant, like,
and
gets
she's
high.
Like,
I see. Yeah. It took
oh,
me
no,
a second.
That she literally, she's like, that's stoning in your was, book,
so,
right?
Yeah. Okay, so this is one of those things.
That part made me laugh.
That was good.
I feel like the stoning and the Christ thing and the, like, is like, and the, like, all the religious stuff is like, what is the point that they're trying to make
yeah.
by it? It's like,
yeah, do you
choose
know the
one.
Answer?
Choose one.
And so
if you want to follow the Christ, if you want to be the Christ, be the Christ.
No one's saying don't be the Christ.
Be the Christ.
Be the Christ you want to see in the world.
Yeah. I guess the I don't know. The
you're saying it was a problem for you that it was sort of unclear?
No, I just I like
I feel like I, that's how just religion is. Everyone's got a different take.
There was too it was They're too much like it. See how like get the cool religion
right,
thing
right,
that
right.
we're doing
see,
here
like a metaphor
and here. And here,
that's what I was know. Saying before. Where it's like movies love doing all this Christ shit.
Yeah,
where it's like
this
like,
fucking Christ
this fucking
shit.
Christ shit. Well, it is just it's the simplest way to be like
it's
actually it's
meaningful.
Profound. Like,
yes,
oh, you know, that John Connor's initials are JC, Jesus Christ.
Same with Jackie Chan.
I didn't know
Jackie
that.
Chan. Jackie Chan, that's why they named him Jackie Chan.
No,
that's
I meant about John Connor.
Yeah, yeah. But
I put the Jackie Chan thing together a long time ago.
Do you guys, have you guys ever heard the potentially apocryphal story, potentially real story, that they wouldn't cast anyone in The Passion of the Christ whose
yes.
initials weren't
oh.
JC?
Oh my no. gosh.
That one I didn't
Jim
know.
Carrey, they went out to.
Jim Carrey, they went out to Jackie Chan.
Oh my gosh. I wonder
I would
if that's
love
true.
To see the Jackie Chan, The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, he would not lose the fight to those
You're right.
Romans.
Yeah, he's
I feel
like
one person told me they hated Jews and cited The Passion of the Christ as like evidence
really?
Of why
like,
the Jews are bad.
Is there evidence?
Yes.
When we were
yes.
growing up when that movie came out.
I'm sorry.
There yeah. was like
they were like
our
Jews are bad. I know I saw this
yeah,
documentary
saw
The Passion of the Christ.
As someone who doesn't have to deal with this, I'm sorry for all of them.
Yeah.
That's non-Jew.
Thank you. Thanks, Jessica. Well, you're the minority in this room as a non-Jew for
yeah.
once.
Yeah. yeah. Not religious.
You guys might be the oh no, Steven Weber, but otherwise you might be the only Jews.
Steven Weber's
no, Amir.
Jew?
Oh, yeah, Amir. The guy that
Amir
I live with.
Should we just name all of the Jews?
Just
in
Hollywood? The list. That's true. I think that was it. No Jewish ladies. Oh, Amalia. Okay, never
okay,
mind.
Okay, so so
I'm scratching all of
I would
of
say you need to
so I've been
expand
the minority before.
Your friend group.
No, because now you're really, I guess so. Now you're really outnumbered.
Yeah, yeah, it's real bad.
They're growing.
I will just tell you one thing about The Passion of the Christ, which is that when it came out in our, like, high school, Sunday school, Hebrew school, all the Jews in Berkeley were so freaked out. They were like, and we're having talks after
oh
class.
My gosh.
If anyone's freaked out about this Passion of the Christ thing happening.
This fucking Passion
this,
of the
this
Christ.
This fucking Passion of the Christ
oh
shit
gosh.
Happening.
Wait, so then it's your takeaway. You were like, it was too much, like, over-the-top religious imagery?
I mean,
imagery?
I mean, I never saw that movie.
Oh, you're saying
oh,
in the Mist.
In the Mist, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I've never seen the Mist.
We're still doing the gist.
I was more just getting frustrated at the concept of trying to seem profound by doing all of this religious stuff where it's like, choose one moment to make your religious point. But I also, I don't know if I, as I'm saying it, I don't
you
know
don't
if I agree with what
it.
I'm saying. So
I'm
going
to
let that sit like a bad fart in the room.
I liked the idea, though, that Marcia Gay Harden goes on this tirade about, you did this with your science and your abortion and your splitting. And she just starts
yes.
naming a bunch of science-y things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then in the end, it's like, oh, this was a science experiment gone
yes.
wrong.
Which,
so.
Which is more argument in your favor.
Yeah. yeah. That's what I was going to say about all the religious stuff is what I like and what I think is really hard to pull off is to have so much religious stuff and walk away having a really strong case for it and against it. I think that's hard to pull off.
Yes.
Where I'm like, I fully am on board with the scenario where she's right about everything and the scenario where she's like a crazy
right.
religious zealot.
Yes.
Although they're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
And they were just coincidences.
Right.
Yeah. I really liked
just
it.
Just fake news, yeah.
The pharmacy next door apparently is called King's Pharmacy, which
Stephen King.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Very
that's
good.
That's fun.
Okay. If you are anyone in this movie, who are you?
Great question. question.
Can we take out the pause? Think about it for a second?
Yeah. Maybe I'll leave a little one so it's believable, but it doesn't have to be as long.
No, you should just like chop it so that as soon as you finish, it's like
ready.
This person.
God, my eyebrows are really great. So I want to say.
You can't be that guy.
Right.
Well, but he took a lot of care with them, and they are noticeable, and I feel like mine are too.
Okay, okay.
No one notices your eyebrows. There's only one person driving this eyebrow narrative.
Weirdly, my dad one time was like, "You have really big eyebrows." And I was like, "Oh, how dare you?" Then she just farted into the microphone.
Did you hear it? I couldn't hear
just
anything.
The tiniest bit.
I turned a microphone upside down and pointed it at my butthole.
In the year 2000, we called that weak sauce.
Yeah, that was a weak sauce.
It was not a great
part. It was like, I'll recreate it with my mouth now.
Yeah, that was exactly it. Just like a chef's kiss, but like on mute.
Everyone take a smell, though. all right, who are we in this movie? Let's all focus, guys.
Pressure is on.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll all have different answers.
I don't think
it'd be great if we all have the same answer.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. You want to hear ours? Okay.
Oh, I would be the old lady.
Oh.
For sure. Yeah. I thought she was great.
She's so cool.
I like how she was with William Sadler. She's like, I'm going right behind you.
Yeah.
Like forcing him out to do it.
Yes, good.
Wait. And she stoned Marcia Gay Harden. I was on board.
So that's who you want to be.
I think that's who I'd be in the situation.
Okay. I was going to say that's who I want to be, but that's not who I am.
Okay,
I'm surprised you say that, actually, because she's also like, I'd rather die out there fighting whatever this is than in here. And I feel like that would not be you.
I would have wanted to leave.
Religion
makes me very uncomfortable. So I probably, like,
would want to leave.
I would have wanted to leave with Andre. Like, I would have been like, this is getting intense.
But you'd put your faith behind Jane.
I would Thomas go, Jane. Yeah, Thomas Jane. Yeah,
yeah.
And his wife Jane Thomas.
Yeah. All right, that's good. I love her. I wish I was her. I'm not her. I'm one of the soldiers who hangs themselves out of guilt, certain it's my fault. Whatever is going wrong, wow. I'm certain I have a hand in it. This is fucked. I'm sorry. I'm out. That's
great.
Me.
Great.
That's a. Those are two strong answers.
Great. I'm gonna say, I have two answers.
Oh.
I think I am the child.
I thought that too at first. I was like,
I was like, I'm a passive observer and I take a bullet to the face. That's who I am.
First, you go into shock.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I stay in the
store. I'm glad someone's the kid. He's very cute and he's a very good actor.
They had to kill a kid first, right, in the car.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they had to.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with that. I had a joke answer.
Oh, what's the joke answer?
I'm the tentacle monster.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah. I didn't love I thought it coming. So I sort of soft pitched it.
Yeah. For anybody that can't see, Benji just thought about putting the fart by the mic by his butt again, but then thought better of it.
Fart hole. I think I would. It's too annoying of an answer. I'll give it to you, but then I'll rescind it because it's too annoying of an answer. I see a lot of myself in the characters. No, but I do think that I would have, I think the...
Oh, that's actually not that annoying. I thought you were going to say that you saw yourself in Thomas Jane.
That's what I thought.
Oh, no. Not at all. No, the fear and the denial in Andre Brower, and then also the, like, the false confidence of the shop boy, and then also... I want to be the guy who's in all the Frank Darabont movies, who's kind of like happy go lucky and makes it to the top five, but then
this is a great. I think this is actually a great.
You're
answer.
Saying the guy, the older man in
older man who's trying to be helpful but isn't taking the lead. But I actually think that I would.
He's the same man who says the miss took John Lee, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like
yes.
him.
Yes. I saw him do King Lear one time, where he was King Lear.
Was he amazing?
He was really great.
Okay.
And then his giant tentacle trapeze artist.
Wait, is there another character, or that's it?
I don't.
I think you're making a great point, which is that because that kind of is the premise of the movie. Is
they're all pieces of you.
Yeah. I mean, they're all
like Jewel says.
It's funny. Yes. It's funny because in a lot of ways, the movie plays a lot of foolish games. But I also think that I was meant for it, and it was meant for me. So no, but
you are lying naked on the bathroom.
That's Natalie Bruglia.
Yeah, come on, Steve.
I think the Toby Jones character.
Yes,
I
was
going to
be I was going to say that, but that's more I like want.
You would want to be.
I want to be that level headed.
Yeah, and that great of a shot.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could never.
Me neither.
But
I could probably do it with a rock, like the old lady.
Yes.
Hit her in the face.
All right.
But
I have more respect for you.
I read a review of this movie today by Justin Chang, who I will just publicly say I do not like his reviews. He's now the reviewer for the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah.
And he reads his reviews on fresh air.
That's where I hear him too.
But he was the reviewer for Variety when this movie came out. And he was like, all the characters are too one-dimensional. Which I think is true, but a bad analysis. Because I think what Steven's saying about who he would play, or who he sees himself as, is how the characters function much more. I think there is a lot of one-dimensionality where they are representative of a reaction to the problem.
Right.
But I don't think that that's bad. I think that's a choice the movie's making.
Yeah, because there are so many people. They can't all be like... these like super complex characters. Yes. They have to represent one point of view.
And I think in that moment, we all become reduced to whatever our reaction is to the crisis.
Yes, and that's and that's the point of making a horror movie, is to reduce people to that thing. So that...
Right.
It's like your basest instincts.
Yes. Yes. And how do different people... what are different people's basest instincts?
I wonder if I think almost the least fleshed out character is Thomas Jane.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He's a little bit of like the everyman, like hero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one of my big complaints, just to circle back to Thomas Jane, being a movie painter, which I do hate. But also, I feel like when movies do that main character kind of trope well, especially when this movie has such a good ending, and he is the person who suffers from the ending, besides you, the audience, like, you know, he's the person who has to live with it.
Yeah.
They have, like, there's, like, the classic thing of this person is overlooked because of, or disliked because of something, but that actual thing is what makes them the most, like, able to, to, you know, it's like the nerd, but the nerd actually is the only one who's reading all the science books or whatever. Yeah. That's, you know, something like that. But, like, his, if he has a flaw, it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
It's that he should have brought the painting down.
Actually,
it's that he
should have brought the painting down. I disagree, and it only came to me now. This did not
occur
to me
before. From this conversation.
Yes.
So I'll
which
take
is, yeah. No. Which is that his seeming strength, I guess it's the reverse. It's what seems like his strength is actually his weakness. The reason everybody starts to look to him and he becomes one of the two sort of de facto leaders is that he's decisive and action-oriented, and that's what leads him to kill everybody prematurely.
I agree.
Oh, okay.
Totally. I think that's a great analysis. But why is he a movie painter?
Only
happens once the problem starts happening, but it's not like we meet this person who in his status quo maybe has some...
right.
Flaw in his life that then, like, the movie is like, oh, is this movie going to cure this? No, it's actually going to exacerbate it and hoist him on his own petard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, but instead, it's like his flaws. He doesn't bring the painting down to the basement.
Yeah.
And what is the painting of? Unclear.
I also wrote down Clint Eastwood and then I looked it up and was like, oh.
Steven made a very funny point that he makes in the movie when he's complaining, he's like, oh, they'll probably get somebody to do some bad Photoshop job. And then it's like, the aliens, a bad
horrible
Photoshop
CGI.
Job.
It's true. I really loved it though.
Good.
It had problems, but I was like, this is a good, memorable movie that I will think about.
Yes.
I can appreciate it, but it wasn't fun.
It's not a fun
movie. I like fun horror movies.
I can appreciate it, Raves Jessica. Wow, 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 wow. Yes.
I thought there were moments, actually, that were really fun in the first half.
The aliens are also kind of fun.
They are.
The little creatures before they start.
They're cool. I mean, they're cool
aliens.
I did feel bad for there are moments where they're, like, on fire or being shot at, and they look just like sweet bats.
Yeah.
I did not have the same moments. I don't like spiders, so I was like, kill it!
The flying ones, not the spiders.
Oh, okay.
Remember, they're like, he flies into the grocery store.
Yeah, it's clumsy.
Yeah, and it's like falling and then it's
making relatable.
Like...
it's like a rom-com. It's running into things.
Yeah, right.
I'm clumsy. I would be the bat. The bat on fire.
Oh, or would you be the guy who accidentally lit himself on fire?
Who lit himself on fire?
Joe.
Which one is Joe?
Joe is the one who they have to go to the pharmacy to get medicine for because he lit himself on fire.
Wait, he lit himself on fire?
Yeah, because they're trying to light the mops. And he lights the mop and then he trips over the canister of all the thing and then it's like, psh,
right.
And then Joe is on fire.
Yeah, oh, right.
That's right.
I'm Joe!
He screams.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know their names.
Yes.
Yeah, I relate to the clumsiness. Mm-hmm. But I'm sticking with the suicide. That's who I am.
That's good. Yes,
so is the ending of this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Well.
Wow. Well, not exactly suicide.
Yeah, not quite. Like a murder. I mean, mercy.
Yeah, mercy kill.
Yeah, mercy homicide.
Mercy homicide.
There you go.
Do you think that Thomas Jane, like, because kind of like the awfulness is, and then he has to be alive with this.
Right.
He could just go and kill himself.
Go find one more bullet, buddy.
Just stand right in front of that flamethrower.
Do you think he will?
Well, that's the
maybe
next
he'll end up with the
first.
Girl and the two kids.
Maybe he'll wind up being a dad to
the two kids.
I
just wanted to apologize for before. Mind if I become the surrogate dad?
What are you doing later? Can you hear, like, what was that? Can your small daughter watch your other small child? Because that was such a weird line where she's like.
But she's like, I said I'd only be gone for a few minutes.
Yeah. I know, but still, very young kids.
I know.
Everyone was judging her parenting in
that
moment.
She had a cool haircut, too.
Yes, it is cool.
Same haircut in The Walking Dead, guys.
Should I do that?
Yeah.
Is that true?
She was thinking about
doing it. I've been trying to get Ariel. I don't actually want her to, but I actually think she might look really cool with the buzz cut.
Yeah, I bet she would.
Yeah, but I, you know, it's a long road back to a long head of hair.
That's true. We're going to have you and Ariel on probably for hopefully like a Valentine's Day.
Oh, my
Day
God.
One.
Oh, right. I love that idea. Because what happened was when Avital first texted me and Stephen, what are our favorite horror movies, I said to Ariel, Avital just asked me this, and my wife loves horror movies in the way that Stephen and I at the beginning of this were saying we don't so much. Like, she will see any horror movie with all just like any schlocky whatever. And she was like, I want to send Avital a list. And I was like, do your thing, girl.
Yeah, I got like a long list from her. Yeah.
I want
to have you both. Yes. I guess you could come if you wanted. Oh, you have a girlfriend now, too.
I do, but.
And she's a director.
She is.
So maybe good
for
her.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're going to be doing
Me
some
and Amir
couple
on
episodes
this mic,
in theory.
You and Brad on that mic. You and Ariel on
I don't
one
know
mic.
If we can do all of that.
It'd be interesting.
Like so much.
It would be a lot. It's just one, like a consistent hum. We want to tell people to, like, rate and review and subscribe, but you guys are writers. You want to tell them, like, give them your pitch for why they should give us positive reviews?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's
absolutely
really
yes.
hard to think of some good reasons for you guys.
Oh, no.
No, I think it's, first of all, if you've made it to the point where you're listening to this, then clearly you value what you are getting out of this podcast.
That's a good pitch.
And also, it's really hard to put on a podcast, even though it seems like, oh, you just turn on a mic. Someone has
to turn on four mics.
They have to turn on four. No, but this isn't in someone's house. This isn't a different place where you have to come down. And it's a lot of work. And then someone has to edit it. And it's hard, you guys.
What you guys can't tell is that the lights in this and all the electricity in this room only work because Avital and Jessica are on two bicycles that are powering this. And so
that's why I'm always out of breath.
That's why they're always out of breath. That's why they're not nailing the hosting.
Oh, so no.
Yes, we can all admit that. That's not the strong suit.
They don't include that in the review, please.
They don't have a lot of breath. If there are any positive reviews that say that you guys are out of breath, we're going to know it's from our.
Yes. That'd be amazing.
But what if there's like someone's a four-star like review that's like, ooh, it would have been five, but they're not nailing the hosting thing.
I really want a five-star review that's like, the hosting isn't that great, but when you consider that they're riding bikes the whole time, it really deserves
it evens out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Steven's right. If you're here, if you're still listening to even this,
I mean, it's crazy. Is anyone going to get to this point?
My mother.
Is that true?
My mom listens to all of them.
What's your mom's name?
Patricia.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Patricia.
Make sure you subscribe, Patricia.
Patricia, of all people, you're trying to support your daughter. You've got to subscribe.
Five stars.
You guys need to go on the Amazon Prime link to Snatchers and rate five stars.
Oh, deal.
Yeah, we'll do
that.
There's one
Wait,
guy.
Can we do that now?
Yeah. Yes. There's one guy who writes...
Before you say this really quickly, I just want to say that we have 100% of Rotten Tomatoes, so it's not a shitty movie.
That's
amazing. It's a good movie.
How do you even have a Rotten? I thought people can't see it yet.
It's reviewers.
It's from the reviews from South By.
Because there's also at South By.
It's only 14 reviews, but all.
That's
amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Variety?
Hell yeah.
Hollywood Reporter?
Ars Technica?
My favorite is the Amazon's where it's like five stars and then it's like, this movie arrived on time.
Okay. Well,
and you're reviewing Amazon, not the movie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This kind of speaks to what this... So on Amazon, there was one review, and it was one star.
The movie just got posted on Amazon because it just got... Like, Warner Brothers just released
that
it's coming out.
Yeah,
just announced
it's coming out on January 7th. And the review... one star, and it said... The subject was junk movie. And then
the subject was worst movie.
Worst movie. And then the content was junk movie. And we were like, all right, we got to see what this is about. So we clicked on this guy. And he has like a string of reviews. He like sees a bunch of horror movies. And they're all worst movie, junk movie.
We had that
junk
for this
movie.
Podcast.
Yeah.
We have one bad review.
No, but this is the same language even. Worst
but when
movie,
I clicked
junk
on
movie.
It,
What's
it was
the guy's
all
name?
The same.
What's the guy's name?
He had different names for every review, but when you click on it on your computer, it'll bring up all of their reviews. And they were all like one star, and they were all very similar. I just, in ours, it was really mean, and it was like, and especially Jessica's bad.
No! Jessica, I think you're especially good.
Yeah.
I'm right here.
Patricia, I think Avital's especially good. It's very confusing.
Thank you.
But I was reading it. I was like, okay, fair enough. Bad review. What? Why am I especially?
That's hurtful. Yeah, yeah. That's hurtful.
They probably see themselves in you. It's pieces of you, like Jules.
Yes, I mean that's always.
We're all naked.
But we feel your pain with that one negative review. Yeah, so then leaving everyone negative.
Yes, but we'll leave you 5 stars, and that'll counteract.
So I got on my wife's Amazon and left a 5-star review, and was like, I saw this at South by. So now we have a 3-star.
Bump it up. Yeah.
You guys could do it on this
podcast. Yeah, we could do an episode.
But not with us.
No, we'd have to do it with the people.
And
that
I would want you guys to be so honest. Like, I'd love to hear, like, you know, probably didn't.
I'll say this. I think if in your opinion, the episode does well enough, if you're happy with the episode, then we'll come back to talk about some adventures.
Oh, cool.
Can you imagine that we never call?
Yes. Well, now that's why I was like, now I'm going to be second guessing it.
I want us to not come for it. I want just to listen to the Snatchers episode, and
I would love that
because I want people.
But then who's going to talk? But then we're forcing other people to talk about our movie,
or like someone who's pregnant would be fun.
Yeah. I think that's a very, very smart idea.
And do you guys have a social media or something you want people?
Oh yeah.
I'm not really on social media, unfortunately, for the primary reason that my dad's on social media.
I am on social media.
Do you want people to find you or no?
Sure. Yeah. It's
Twitter, Instagram.
They're both Steven at Steven Cedars.
Cool.
So with PH.
I still do have a Twitter. I'm off Instagram and Facebook, but I do have a Twitter, and it's at Lord Fartsack.
Is that true?
That's true.
Oh my goodness.
So if you want to follow me, that's where you would go. It'd be at Lord Fartsack, and you can read some jokes I wrote 7 years ago.
I'm gonna follow you because I don't.
And that's Benji saying, catch ya after the credits.
That's good.
I'm so sorry to you listeners for having it.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for making it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Love you, Patricia.
Happy Christmas. Happy New Year.
And for all those Christ worshipers on Christmas,
sorry.
Marcia Gay Harden was right.
She was right. God is unmerciful and bloodthirsty. And sweet dreams.